Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. The Michael Vick Serenade. As the Atlanta Falcons quarterback left the courthouse in Richmond, Virginia, boos and catcalls. Maybe dog calls.
Vic was the last of the four defendants to be called to the podium. Dressed in a sharp business suit, he raised his right hand, put his left on the Bible, and said, "Yes, ma'am," when asked if he would tell the whole truth. His plea? Not guilty, he told the judge, and he asked for a jury trial like the others. At the bond hearing that preceded the arraignment, Magistrate Judge Dennis Donald reminded everyone that defendants are innocent until proven guilty. In his words, no matter how heinous the allegation or allegations.
The allegation, of course, that he owned the property on which fighting dogs fought CBS's Barry Bagnato in Richmond, Virginia. Convicted of murder, and the four men didn't do it. The government will pay two surviving convicts in Boston and the families of two who died in prison more than $100 million.
The money, you know, can't give them back the years they lost. And they've known that all along. But 35 years or so, they sat in a courtroom and they heard a sentence of death be imposed upon them. So this was a very different day for them.
Julianne Bolero is the attorney for the men. It's said to be the largest damage payment ever by the government for sending the wrong people to prison. Chrysler is turning its back on plans to bring back the Imperial as a big luxury car. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert in Detroit says Chrysler's also pushing the warranty envelope big time.
Chrysler's lifetime powertrain warranty meant to top the 100,000-mile coverage at some other companies. The original owners covered as long as they own the vehicle. And powertrain repairs are usually big-ticket repairs.
NASA says an employee of a subcontractor, cut some wires in a computer bound for the International Space Station next month on Endeavour. It is not a flight-to-orbit safety situation, but the broken computer would have disabled one sensor array for sure. NASA says the subcontractor found it, reported it, it's been fixed, and it'll go up with the rest of the payload. Aviation Week says NASA is looking into unconfirmed stories that some flight crew members had shown up at the shuttle pad with too much alcohol still in their system from the night before. CBS News Space Consultant Bill Harwood.
Sources say this is all anecdotal evidence. Obviously, there's no data on blood alcohol content. No names are mentioned in the report, so I'm told. And it looks like these two isolated incidences, they're spread out over a long period of time. It doesn't look to me on the surface anyway as a widespread sort of problem.
Former astronaut and shuttle commander Rick Searfoss has told CBS he never saw it in any of his missions, and he wants specifics before buying into any unsubstantiated scuttlebutt. A strange odor at Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston shut things down for about an hour today. The odor cleared. The planes are taking off again. On Wall Street, 311-point tumble for the Dow. NASDAQ lost nearly 49 points.
We're going through this very difficult aftermath of the housing bubble, and we're paying for it in a big way.
Hugh Johnson and Johnson & Illington. This is CBS News.
We wanted to move in 90 days, and that was our goal.
Selling a home can be a challenge.
I've been through this type of market before. I'm going to be there every step of the way to guide them through it.
Realtors I work with know the markets that they're in.
They know how to market it. They know how to sell it.
Interest rates are at historic lows, which means more buyers are in the market for a home like yours. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
The market is always changing, and I'll always be ready for it.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
You've reached Pearson Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get. At no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearson, in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC
or
visit aflacsb.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
So many botulism germs in the cans, they might explode.
The cans of hot dog and chili sauce have been recalled, but now comes word they could be more dangerous than first thought. Contaminated with botulism because they weren't canned properly. The products could grow more dangerous the longer they're around, literally bursting open. You can get sick by just inhaling it. Now you're being urged to double bag it before throwing it away if you still have cans at home. The recall involves brands like Castleberry, Thrifty Made, Food Lion, Piggly Wiggly, and Kroger. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Etta Linda James is back in the hospital. She's in stable condition with complications from last month's abdominal surgery. The blues singer is 69, and her manager says she's had to cancel upcoming tour dates with B.B. King and Al Green, and she's upset about it. Etta James, one of the great blues singers, has had a 50-year singing career, and for her fans, everything she does is a hit. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
Assessor, this is Debbie. We got lost. Where are you headed to? Joe T. Garcia's restaurant.
Introducing OnStar turn-by-turn navigation. Just press the OnStar button and tell the advisor your destination. The route will be sent to your vehicle, and an automated voice will guide you through every turn.
I have it at Commerce Street. Can you get me back there? Absolutely. Are you familiar with the turn-by-turn navigation?
I am. I love it. That's why I bought this car.
No need to print out driving directions or hassle with a portable GPS device.
Your turn-by-turn navigations will begin. Thank you for using OnStar.
Thanks.
Turn-by-turn navigation is the simplest and smartest navigation system, and it's available on many new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles. To learn more, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
In half a mile, turn right onto Lake Street.
Requires ABS and directions and connections plan. Not available in certain areas.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, a powerful antidote and elixir for the toxins of right-wing talk radio. Your humble host is on vacation. You can call in on our regular toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. So pick up the phone and show some love from the left coast for the man from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Ah. Don't know if I'm going to love it. Oh, boy, am I irritated. Oh, it's an angry day here.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Yes, I do.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it's not.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
I'm not scared, I'm pissed.
And I'm wondering how I get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, I am stuck in the middle with you for 3 hours today, and there's no place that I would rather be but talking to you here on the Peter B. Collins Show. As the good PBC said, I am Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen journalist. We just got a scream from our ISDN. Our friendly, your friendly citizen journalist, all-around troublemaker, muckraker, sitting in as guest host this week for Peter B., who's overseas in Italy, having a good time, a family reunion. I think he'll be back, but not for a week or two. Christine Kraft will be joining you next week. But I'm here for the rest of the week, like it or not. All right. Hey, good luck getting in if you want. We'd love to hear from you this afternoon at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Up and down the West Coast, of course, coast to coast and around the globe via PeterBCollins.com. All right. Well, man, we got a big show. Coming up later, I believe a world exclusive. We've got Tova Andrea Wang, ungagged, as they like to say. She is she's the woman who wrote the voter fraud report for the United States Elections Assistance Commission, the one that showed, guess what? There is no voter fraud, at least none to speak of. And, of course, that report was buried, altered, and Tova was told to shut up about it. Well, she's not shutting up anymore. She's going to be with us for an entire hour here later today, telling all about the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission. Also, Scott Dick, our military affairs contributor, will be joining us here in a bit. And momentarily, Faz Shakir from Think Progress will be with us from Center for the American Progress. And Christina Johnson from the Sierra Club, Tracy Fleischman of a brave new film. Films about Robert Greenwald's latest troublemaking for the Fox News Channel. All right. Well, before we get really rolling here, just before we headed over here to the studio, oh, I should have mentioned we're broadcasting live from Houston, Texas again today from the bowels of KPFT, 90.1 FM in Houston, Texas, the Pacifica station down here, which has been kind enough to open their doors to us so we can make noise to you by being the broadcast media. You can also join us over at the Bradblog, bradblog.com, where we've got an open thread going. Hopefully Agent 99 will be there. If she's not already, I'll try to check it out. Go to the top item there, click on comments, go on in, say your piece. I will try to pay attention. Otherwise, Agent 99 will, and all of the other folks in the room. All right, new, as I was saying, as we're coming over to the studio today, breaking news out from truthout.org from Jason Leopold and the former producer of the Peter B. Collins Show, Matt Renner. They've got a big scoop over there. Yep, some all new emails, RNC emails from just before the 2004 election revealing the GOP scheme to challenge votes, as we've been telling you, vote caging. Tim Griffin was ahead of the scheme, it looks like, to challenge votes in New Mexico, Ohio, Florida, Nevada, Pennsylvania. And they have been further caught red-handed with some of these emails. We'll talk about that in a bit. It plays into a report from PBS's Now program, which is going to have the scoop on vote caging tomorrow on PBS, featuring our friend Greg Palast and a lot of what he broke on that story. Greg may be with us on the show tomorrow as well. I haven't even had time to go through all of these emails yet, but gosh, they said they weren't vote caging. In other words, peeling folks off the rolls, challenging their democratic right to vote. And what do you know? They had an entire scheme to do it that went all the way up to the White House. Who'd have thunk it? We'll ask Tova Wang about that as well later on. And let's see. Karl Rove, ho-hum. Karl Rove has been subpoenaed for his documents and testimony related to the U.S. attorney firing. Incredibly, that's not the biggest story today. let's go to Faz Shakir here for what may be the biggest story today. Can you tell I'm irritated today, Faz?
You and me both.
Are you irritated? I mean, everything is breaking. Everything that guys like you and I have been talking about for years. We were right. They were wrong. How long is it going to take for the world and for the Justice Department to figure it out? But that doesn't exist anymore. So I don't know where we go from here. But let's jump into this. Your story today at thinkprogress.org. I'm sure it was a slow day for you. you've got the senators, four Democratic senators calling for a special counsel to investigate the liar, Alberto Gonzalez, for perjury. What's that about, Faz?
Well, I think most of our listeners have been following this case a little bit, but let's back it up just a little bit. You know, Alberto Gonzalez testified a couple days ago. He said that the disagreements that we learned about from James Comey and John Ashcroft threatening to resign, that those were simply about other intelligence activities and not related to the NSA program.
That late-night hospital meeting.
Lo and behold, we find out, actually, they were about the NSA program, because we have John Rockefeller, who was involved in the briefings. We have Jane Harman. Then we found an AP revealed a document that came from the National Intelligence Director, John Negroponte, all of whom have now confirmed that disagreement was about the NSA program. And so they went back, basically the senators on the Judiciary Committee went back to Gonzalez and said, hey, do you want to correct the record? Do you want to change the transcript? And they said, no, we're going to stand by what we said. They're like, okay, well, we'll move forward with perjury then. So that's what they announced today, is they're asking for a special prosecutor to be announced to investigate Gonzalez for perjury.
Now, they had to ask, and I should add, late this afternoon, AP has the FBI as well contradicting Robert Mueller. contradicts the Gonzalez's testimony. And basically, that was the point of contention here, is that meeting in the hospital room that night when Gonzalez and Card went over to Ashcroft's hospital room to get him to sign on to this terrorist, so-called terrorist surveillance program. Ashcroft wouldn't do it, to his credit. James Comey didn't want to do it. And the other day, Gonzalez seemed to say, oh, no, we were talking about something else entirely in the hospital room that night, right?
Right, and the reason he says that, right, it's important to know, like, how, like, put this in the context. This is, go back to February of 2006 when he was testifying before the Senate. Senator Chuck Schumer said, hey, Alberto Gonzalez, were there ever any serious disagreements about this NSA wiretapping program? You know, were there people inside the administration who thought that it was illegal? Was there any conflict there? And of course, Alberto Gonzalez says, no, there was no conflict. There were no serious disagreements that I know about. So he was stuck with that answer, right? And now here we flash forward after Comey's revelations, and now here we are about a year later, a little more than a year later, and he's got to explain why he said that there were no serious disagreements. And so what he's trying to say is, well, there were no serious disagreements about that program. There were serious disagreements maybe about something else. But that's not squaring with the facts, and so he's stuck in a corner. He's either lied to Congress now or he lied to Congress before. Either way, it's pretty clear he lied to Congress.
This is just extraordinary. I mean, because that was really, you know, just one section of the testimony. There was all manner of things. And by the way, one of the things in this perjury, this request for an investigation, they're also asking him about the fact that he said he didn't talk to anybody about the U.S. attorney firing business. And yet Monica Goodling testified that, in fact, he it seemed like he was testing his story out on her.
Yeah, and almost kind of trying to coach her testimony a little bit. He called her into his office. He said, I'd like to rehearse some of the things that I think happened so we are on the same page. He went through his testimony, or basically what he thought the version of events should be as conveyed to the public, mm-hmm. about why they fired U.S. attorneys. And then he said to her, does that sound right to you? And according to Goodling's own testimony, she said, after I heard that, I said, I don't think I should be answering this question because I think this is illegal and improper. So even Goodling, you know, who was on board a total Bush loyalist, was raising concerns about whether the attorney general was doing something illegal and improper. And so that's again, really good of you to bring that up, because that's just another angle to this whole obstruction of justice. And it's important to know that this is the attorney general we're talking about, the nation's chief law enforcement officer, and we got charges of perjury and obstruction of justice against this guy.
Which is what makes this so incredible, because the question is, what can be done about it? And they've asked Solicitor Theodore Olson to agree to bring a special prosecutor here. All right, we're going to talk about what can be done about it, maybe, if anything. We started out, last week when I jumped into this game, talking about the fact that we're headed towards a constitutional crisis. I still think we are. We're going to get Faz's opinion on that when we get back. Plenty of Peter B. Collins Show to come for you today. I'm sitting in for Brad Friedman. We're going to be back right after this.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking Good California is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit StayFitEatRight.org.
With a nod to our good friend Stephanie, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. Your friendly guest host, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, speaking with Faz Shakir of the Center for American Progress, talking about today's request for a special counsel to investigate Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez for perjury. It's incredible to even say that. Faz, they had to go to Theodore Olson, the Solicitor General, because Gonzalez has recused himself from this case, correct?
That's right. I think they're going to Paul Clement first, right, who's the Solicitor General.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
I thought Theodore Olson used to be, and then he left. And so Paul Clement is now the Solicitor General.
Oh, okay. My mistake. Yeah. You're right. And so is Paul Clement now the guy who's sort of overseeing this entire matter officially, since everyone else has sort of had to recuse themselves because they're involved?
Yeah, he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be. And he's already overseeing the attorney scandal.
Right.
And hopefully he'll I don't actually know if we want him in charge. The problem is that he's already come out and issued a few memorandums to President Bush that said that your guys did nothing wrong in the Department of Justice, and that everything was above board. And so I think that there's already a conflict of interest with him being involved because he's already put his legal opinion out there that nothing terrible happened. And so I think there would be a lot of accusations that this was a guy who's just simply trying to cover up.
Well, what do we do? I mean, because it's insane. Don't we have to rely on him at this point to make the judgment call whether a special counsel should be put in place or not?
Yeah, unless you ask for him to be recused as well, which I don't know. I don't know what the Senate is going to do on that one. It's just, you know, the administration is so smart about it and so clever, almost in a, you know, very deceptive and evil way. They're very clever about who they put into these various positions, always trying to make sure that they got the game covered and that, you know, they're gaming the system, really.
From
and,
top to bottom. I mean,
yeah,
that's what this whole thing's
exactly.
about.
That's what the U.S. attorney's places, by the way, were all about. You know, that's part of gaming the system. It's putting
sure.
people into positions where you can do the voter fraud, you can, you know, enact your political agenda,
yep.
and when people challenge it, you got the people in the right places to squash it.
And then when it is challenged, and then when someone you know, refers these contempt motions to the U.S. Attorney General, he, I believe, has to recuse himself. But what does it matter? The White House has already given instructions to the Department of Justice. They're not allowed to bring charges on
this. Exactly. That was really incredible. That, you know, the House has now passed contempt charges for Myers and for Josh Bolton, the White
right.
House Chief of Staff. And those, and last week we learned from the New York Times that apparently the Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez, has been instructed by the White House not to do anything on those contempt motions, not to pursue them, not to start the legal process, just simply ignore them because executive privilege, according to the White House, overweighs everything.
Indeed.
And so, of course, Alberto Gonzalez is going to go along for the ride, and that's why it's important to know that's why he's still there, right? The fact that he's lied to Congress is the reason for why he's still in office,
right?
It's not that the lying to Congress is somehow offending the White House. That's the reason they kept him there. They want to make him the voodoo doll that everybody sticks pins into, so that they don't follow the trail to where it leads.
Well, exactly. That's why he can't go anywhere, and
okay.
So they're going to use him to hold them off. Is it going to work? Is there any recourse, Faz? Or is
the only avenue left here, and I think that's where Leahy and Conyers are going to go, and that's the judiciary branch. And again, they've gamed that system quite a bit. We know how the Supreme Court is stacked. But the first stop will, of course, be federal district court, and I think they're going to try to get some of either their subpoenas to be enforced, or they're going to you know, try to get a special prosecutor to bring a case to them. There's a number of different avenues that they have. They have the contempt charges. There's a number of different things that they could bring first to the courts, but I think that they're heading in that direction, so we'll see what happens.
You know, there's a cell in the basement of the Capitol building.
You know, did you see what Arlen Specter said about that the other day? He jokingly told a Time magazine reporter
yep.
that, you know, there's a jail down here in the Capitol, and maybe Alberto Gonzalez belongs in it.
Well, exactly. And I had actually, about 2 weeks ago, I checked with someone in Congress because I had heard about that, and they confirmed, in fact, there was, although David Gregory went on MSN. Who was it? Chip Reed said that it wasn't there. So I think they're going to need it. Yeah, it was Chip Reed. He said, there isn't one. Oh, it's a joke. I don't think it's a joke. I think they may have to use it. If they have the guts to do it, that's a different matter altogether.
Yeah.
I think we're headed for a constitutional crisis here, Fast.
You know, under the Sergeant-at-Arms rules, if you take a look at the Sergeant-at-Arms rules, it says that he can arrest anybody, including mm-hmm. the president. So that's interesting, and if we want to go there, of course, that'll be a complete constitutional crisis. Not that I'm suggesting we're arresting the president, but simply using those powers to their fullest extent within the Sergeant-at-Arms.
Sounds good to me, Faz. Hey, thank you, brother. We got to get out. Thanks for all you do over there at thinkprogress.org. Faz Shakir, always great to talk to you, amigo.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
All right. Boy, coming back. I don't even know who's coming up next. Fox News, something about that. Sierra Club, much more ahead. Stay tuned.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. SoberStones.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly! Oh.
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh, local, liberal blowhard.
And another thing, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show, only on KRXA 540.
Down in
I have always said that I will listen to the requests of our commanders on the ground.
Mr. President, you did not listen. You continue to pursue a failed strategy that is breaking our great Army and Marine Corps. I left the Army in protest in order to speak out. Mr. President, you have placed our nation in peril. Our only hope is that Congress will act now to protect our fighting men and women.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Hello, everybody. This is R.J. Moyer. Join me Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. for Sports Phone KRXA. Now all of us Monday morning quarterbacks can get together Sunday nights and talk about football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, hockey, softball, volleyball, kickball, bocce ball, bowling, rugby, lacrosse. Well, maybe we won't talk about rugby and lacrosse, but join me anyway for Sports Phone KRXA, Sunday nights from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
Why would we hand the beating heart of democracy, the vote, over to a private corporation?
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And we're giving it to a corporation called Diebold, whose former president, Wally O'Dell, says, you know, I'm going to give Ohio to George W. Bush. We're giving it to a corporation like ES&S, who used to be run by Chuck Hagel, the Republican senator from Nebraska. I mean, it's our vote!
Tom Hartman, weekday evenings on KRXA 540.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. While your humble host is on vacation, here's Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
Come tumbling and crumbling down. Working on it. I should have never promised Peter B. that we'd take down the White House before he got back from Italy. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We got 2.5, at least, hours ahead for you today. We're going to be speaking momentarily with Christina Johnson from the Sierra Club and Tracy Fleischman from Brave New Films, Robert Greenwald's documentary outfit. We're going to talk about, this is what's amazing. We're going to go talk about Fox News, and this is what I'm looking forward to calm me down today. That is how bad it has gotten out here. It's all tumbling down. Coming up later, Tova Wang ungagged for the first time in her first live broadcast interview concerning what she knows about the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission since she has had her gag order lifted. And Scott Dick, our military affairs, that'll calm me down. Scott Dick, our military affairs correspondent, going to talk about this little place called Iraq and how well things are going over there. You can send me email, brad@bradblog.com. I will try to notice it, as will I try to notice your conversations over in the chat room at bradblog.com. Going over there, top item, click comments, and speak your piece. All right, let's get over to these guys. They got a new Robert Greenwald, up to no good again. Christina Johnson joins us. She's from the media team at the Sierra Club. She's worked as a newspaper reporter as well as a wilderness ranger and firefighter. Man, that sounds good about now. Also, Tracy Fleischman is joining us, the media director from Brave New Films, Robert Greenwald's documentary outfit. As I said, they have got a new piece sort of tying together the way Fox, go figure, is lying to you. In this case, they're lying to you about the environment. They've got an entire website devoted to how Fox is lying to America over at foxattacks.com. But they're focusing in this time on the environmental issue and specifically on the advertisers, and I think that is the way to go. The advertisers who are advertising on the Fox News channel. Christina, do we have everybody? Christina Johnson, welcome to the Peter B. Show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, good. And Tracy, are you with us as well?
Hi, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Great. Great to have both of you guys. Okay, and I've got this short film that you guys put together over at foxattacks.com. I'll play it in a little bit because it's short enough, but I think it tells it tells the whole story of these lying liars. Christina Johnson, how did you come to work with the Robert Greenwald folks on this project?
Well, I think it was kind of just a natural partnership. Fox has been distorting facts on global warming for a long time, and Robert Greenwald exposes Fox's lies about a lot of different issues. And so it just sort of was a natural fit, and we decided to go forward with this campaign to try and let people know what Fox is putting out there about global warming.
Did they come to you, or you guys went to them?
You know, I honestly don't remember.
Can't remember? Just
Tracy,
came together.
Do you remember?
You know, I think it grew out of some conversations. We monitor Fox all the time, and we noticed patterns in their distortions. And one thing that we kept seeing coming up was their lies about global warming. They were continuously spreading this misinformation that hurts the work that groups like the Sierra Club do. And so I think we just started talking and realized there was a natural fit for a partnership.
And Tracy, is the foxattacks.com website, is that essentially an outgrowth of the Outfoxed documentary?
Yes, exactly. You know, a few years ago, Robert did this groundbreaking documentary where he and a team of people monitored Fox News all the time, 24/7. And in it, you see the amazing degree to which Fox is a Republican mouthpiece. It's not a credible news organization. And you see them advancing basically White House politics about mm-hmm. the war, about global warming, and some really shocking things about, you know, presidential candidates, how they cover Democrats. And this all grew out of Outfoxed, and now with new technology and YouTube, we're able to put out short pieces on a regular basis highlighting Fox's misinformation.
And Christina Johnson, before I play this clip, in general, how is Fox getting it wrong? I know they're doing the talking points, but specifically, what is it that they're pounding on, that they're trying to deceive America with, as you see it?
Well, they've said that global warming is a hoax. They've called it a lie. They've called into question the idea that humans are causing global warming. And I mean, the jury is no longer out on any of that. Most of the world's scientists now agree that global warming is a serious problem and that it's caused by humans. And 83% of the American public also agrees with that.
And let me let me play devil's advocate here. They say that the big report, the recent report, had some scientists who took their name off the report because they didn't like the idea that the report basically said that global warming was being caused by humans.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, for every 10,000 scientists who say mm-hmm. that global warming definitely is caused by humans, you can probably find two or three who say that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably funded by Exxon, to be honest with you.
Right. And now this effort, what you guys are calling for at this point, is to take it out on Fox's advertisers, correct?
Correct. And Home Depot specifically. And
why Home Depot? Is this Tracy again?
No, this is Christina.
Oh, Christina. Why are you choosing Home Depot of all the folks to focus on here?
Well, we chose Home Depot because Home Depot has been advertising itself as a company that really cares about the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've launched a couple of different environmental initiatives. They have an eco options program in their stores. And so we decided that they would be a good candidate because if they really care about the environment, probably the most important thing they can do is make sure that people have the truth about global warming. And that would mean pulling their ads from the Fox network.
And have you heard? You guys launched this. It was about 2 weeks ago, or about a week or so ago now. Was this launched before or after Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s speech at Live Earth, which actually, for anybody who hasn't seen it, it's a tremendous speech. You can actually go see the entire video over at bradblog.com. Alan Breslauer had it up there within moments after it ran, and basically, Kennedy was calling out guys like Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh and saying the way to get at them was to go after their advertisers. So who came first here? Did you guys take the cue from him? Did he take the cue from you? Or did everybody just realize the only way to, it's only money that speaks to these people?
It's a natural fit. We launched this video, I believe just before Bobby gave that speech, and he's actually commented on the video. If you go to goLeftTV.com, you can Google his comments about the video. But with Fox, you know, they need to hear it at their bottom line, and mm-hmm. as consumers, we can make an impact on Fox by targeting their advertisers.
And have you gotten a response yet from Home Depot on this?
This is Christina again.
Christina, yeah.
We had a couple of our field people meet with Ron Jarvis, who is the head of their environmental program,
mm-hmm.
And that was last week. And we did not get an answer from them, but we made it very clear that we were asking them to pull their ads from Fox and that if they really wanted to demonstrate a commitment to the environment, that's what they would have to do.
I guess you need a show like Bill O'Reilly's, because he was able to get JetBlue to turn tail and run scared and withdraw their sponsorship at the Daily Kos convention just by being a bully for a couple of nights. And, you know, folks like you and me, I guess we don't have that same kind of platform that Bill O'Reilly has. Let's play, do I have time here? Yeah, let me play a couple of minutes of this. It's about 2 minutes. This is from FoxAttacks.com. You can see the video, but this is the lying liars over there at Fox News, and then Rupert Murdoch at the end, who comes out and says that it's good business to what? Support the environment and to be concerned about global warming. Correct? Sort of contradicts what his on-air talent is saying.
Exactly. Rupert Murdoch just highlights the lies and misinformation that his own network is spreading by espousing the value of these carbon credits and illustrating the extent to which his people like Bill O'Reilly are constantly spreading lies.
It's very strange. Let's give this a listen here from FoxAttacks.com. You can get an idea.
You don't go see Joseph Goebbels' films to see the truth about Nazi Germany. You don't want to go see Al Gore's film to see the truth about global warming.
Global warming. Well, I rudely put it in the myth chapter with psychics and astrology. It is some of the coldest air in this part of the country in 20 years. Proof that all of this hype over global warming could be just that hype.
Today's headlines about global warming prove the news axiom, if it bleeds, it leads.
The warming is due to the sun.
Thermonuclear war might threaten the survival of our civilization, but warming up the planet, I think not.
No doubt that it's man-made.
It's a hoax.
A total hoax.
It's an outrageous lie.
You're a meteorologist. What do you think scientists really agree on?
There is no agreement that the warming we've seen is due to man.
It is more fiction than fact.
Just to rush to judgment and assume that it's human emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases is really foolish.
CO2 is not a pollutant.
The hysteria, we're all going to drown.
This is the alarmist scientists who always get the most play in the media.
The alarmist scientists.
The thing about Al Gore is I've always thought of him as such an inauthentic man.
Planet fever or PR fever?
Al Gore is wrong in his science.
Now, I want to point out something. He's got the Bela Lugosi haircut.
Al Gore is unhinged.
If we are to connect with our audiences on this issue, we learn that we must first get our own house in order.
As Rupert Murdoch.
Companies themselves have realized that there is some way to make some bucks by getting on board of some sort of climate change program.
Acting on this issue is simply good business.
Stop global warming by cutting down the trees.
But I'm a little more worried about Ahmad with a nuclear weapon than a stupid glacier melting.
Outrage over Dems who want to fight global warming at the expense of fighting terrorism.
Our advertisers are asking us for ways to reach audiences on this issue.
At the expense of terrorism. Unbelievable. Speaking with Christina Johnson from Sierra Club, Tracy Fleischman from Robert Greenwald's brave new film. What the hell are they talking about at the expense of terrorism? I leave it to either Christina or Tracy. How is this at the expense of terrorism as they see it?
This is Christina. I have no idea. I mean, it's a false choice. There's not a choice between fighting terrorism and fighting global warming. It doesn't make any sense at all.
It really doesn't. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back more with Christina Johnson and Tracy Fleischman. I want to figure out also how to square all of this with Rupert Murdoch's statements that it's good for business. Apparently he hasn't sent the memo to his on-air talent. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman, sitting in for PBC. We'll be back. Oh, give us a call, 888-5-PETER-B. Want to sound off about this? Global warming? Anything else that Fox News is ticking you off about? Let us know, 888-5-PETER-B. We'll be back in a moment. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long. Oh, super fly.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Easy being green. It seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things. And people tend to pass you over because you're not standing out like flashy sparkles in the water or stars in the sky.
You tell them, Kermit. See, that'll calm me down. A little Kermit-y frog.
But green's the color of spring.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
And green can
see how much we're mellow now. The Peter B. Collins Show. With Christina Johnson from the Sierra Club, Tracy Fleischman from Brave New Films on their new expose, if you will, of Fox News' latest scam, calling global warming a hoax, and they've got a great collection of clips. Boy, it's over at foxattacks.com, and they're calling for Home Depot to drop their advertising from Fox News. Tracy Fleischman, it's like candy from a baby at this point, isn't it, making these these Fox News videos?
Well, it's quite shocking the extent to which Fox regularly smears respectable citizens and spreads misinformation. There really is no shortage of issues that Fox, you know, has no shame taking aim at. Global warming, one would never expect, you know, a news organization to dispute. But the fact is that Fox is not a neutral news organization.
Well, they're not. And, you know, we know this. You guys do a great job of reporting over there. And certainly I follow newshounds.us. They do a terrific job of monitoring Fox every day and the lies that they tell on literally every single show throughout the day, 24/7 on Fox News. And yet, they're the most popular news channel on cable. How do you explain that, Tracy?
You know, we're starting to see a shift in opinion. We're starting to see that people are realizing that Fox is not a credible news organization. Earlier this year, there was a tremendous Netroots victory where we saw the Democratic candidates deciding that they did not want to appear in Democratic presidential primary debate that was to be broadcast on Fox. You know, that took place in March of this year where John Edwards led the way and we saw Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and others say, no, we're not going to appear on this debate on Fox because we know that Fox spreads misinformation about us, they lie about us, and, you know, we're going to take a stand. And I think that we're starting to see that.
And yet, has Robert Greenwald been invited onto Fox?
Robert?
And would he go if he was invited?
I believe that Robert has been blacklisted from Fox.
And I guess that means you're on the blacklist as well, right?
No one has asked me to appear on Fox. I did.
I'm asking you to appear on Fox, Tracy.
Well, you know, the thing is, and it's a really interesting question to talk about, is that, you know, the way that these shows are made, Bill O'Reilly, for example, you know, he edits his show, so even when a Democrat does go on to Fox News, you know, there's a question of, you know, how will they be able to get their point across? I mean, these people are not journalists.
No, and you know, a lot of people don't realize that actually about Bill O'Reilly. I was speaking with my friend Mike Rogers, who has got a great blog over at page1q.com, and he was on O'Reilly not long ago. I can't remember what the topic was, but he pointed out that that is not live. And I guess O'Reilly comes in, he does the introduction between the interviews. That's live, so they use the live bug so people think it's live. But in fact, those interviews have been done earlier, have been cut up to his liking, and people really don't understand that. So ultimately, Tracy, if you are invited to Fox, is it better to show up and make your case, or is it better to boycott and stay home as you see it?
You know, there are so many different ways to stand up to Fox, and it's important that, you know, we are all doing this. And so it's really a personal choice for people if they want to appear on Fox, you know, and how they are going to handle it. Earlier this week, we saw Hillary Clinton's chief communications officer go on Fox, and he defended Yearly Coast Convention, which has been under attack by Bill O'Reilly,
right,
you know, with these ridiculous smears. And he stood up, you know, and stood up to Bill O'Reilly and made a case for Yearly Coast.
For the record, I'm happy to go on Fox. They invited me to go on Fox and Friends. I was ready to go to talk about Ann Coulter's voter fraud. I was even willing to stay up until 3 a.m. in the morning on the West Coast to do it. For some reason, Ann Coulter didn't want to show up and talk with me. I can't understand why. Christina Johnson, before we go, so how is the, are you getting attention over at the Sierra Club? Are you getting a lot of media on this particular issue? Is the campaign working, I guess, in other words?
Well, I think the campaign is definitely working in the sense that we've gotten about 40,000 people to sign petitions to Home Depot asking them to pull their ads from Fox. And on top of that, another, I think, close to 400,000 people have viewed the Fox Attacks the Environment video. So we're definitely getting the message out there. And we plan on delivering our petitions to Home Depot stores next week. And we're going to send them another clear message that they have a choice to make here between really standing up for the environment and not standing up for the environment.
And how can people participate? How can they make noise, sign that petition, and otherwise take action to help you out?
Great question. They can sign the petition by going to foxattacks.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if they'd like to participate in one of the petition deliveries, they can actually call us here at the Sierra Club on the media line, and that number is 415-977-5526.
5526, and that will allow them to help distribute this petition?
Exactly.
415-977-5526, or go to foxattacks.com. Fill out the petition that's there, and you can watch this film. And I guess it's YouTube, so you can, if you got a website, embed it, spread the word, make noise, be the media.
That's right.
Very good. All right, thanks, guys. Really appreciate your time here and your efforts. Keep up the good work. Of course, we will keep our eyes on foxattacks.com for all the good muckraking you guys are up to. Somebody's got to hold somebody accountable before this is all said and done. And, boy, thank you both for trying. Christina Johnson from the Sierra Club and Tracy Fleischman from Brave New Films. Go check it out, foxattacks.com. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Well, I'm calm now. See, I'm calm. But Scott Dick, he's going to get me irritated again in the next hour because we're going to start talking about Iraq. We're going to start talking about General Petraeus, who wants to keep the troops there, I think, forever, about the scam, the American Enterprise Institute folks who were behind this surge. See, I'm just going to get worked up again. That's what's going to happen. Oh, well, it'll make Agent 99 happy. She likes it when I get angry. Don't you, Agent 99? Go check out bradblog.com, where she is holding forth in the chat room. So much more ahead. I got to stop exhaling like that. I'm starting to sound like Al Gore on this end. All right, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman sitting in for PBC. Tova Wang, by the way, coming up during our Election Integrity Hour, ungagged. Much more ahead. Stay tuned. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A new embarrassment for the space agency.
Two astronauts drunk at launch time. It's supposedly in an official NASA report. I'm Peter King.
Investor worry sends stocks sharply lowered.
It really definitely was a perfect storm.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. We think of astronauts being superbly trained and focused on their mission, but on two occasions, Aviation Week and Space Technology Magazine says astronauts drank heavily within 12 hours of the space shuttle launch. CBS News correspondent Peter King has more.
The allegations are stunning. Two astronauts okayed to fly despite warnings from other crew members and doctors that they were drunk and a safety risk. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
Sources say this is all anecdotal evidence. Obviously, there's no data on blood alcohol content. No names are mentioned in the report, so I'm told. And it looks like these two isolated incidences, they're spread out over a long period of time.
Former shuttle commander Rick Searfoss.
I can't believe it. I never even heard one rumor to that effect, anything.
Aviation Week says this is part of a NASA report on astronaut health and screening commissioned after the Lisa Nowak arrest. That report is due out tomorrow. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
An employee of a NASA subcontractor allegedly cut wires inside a computer for Shuttle Endeavour, which is due to fly in less than 2 weeks. Officials don't know a motive. Even if the sabotage hadn't been detected, they say it would not have endangered the shuttle or its crew. Now this.
Will you love me when I turn 6?
Of course I will love you when you're 6.
Will you love me when I'm 10?
Of course I will love you when you're 10.
They'll always be your baby, which is why we've introduced the sedan rated the safest full-size car in America, the all-new 2008 Ford Taurus.
When I'm 15?
And while you can't engineer a mother's love, you can engineer safety. Taurus offers 6 standard airbags and features patented space architecture, which directs crash energy away from you. Plus, Taurus received 5-star crash test safety ratings for front and side impacts and is an IIHS top safety pick.
Will you love me when I'm as old as you?
I will love you forever.
The all-new Ford Taurus. Ford. Bold moves. Visit your Ford dealer or go to FordVehicles.com.
Based on NHTSA 5-star frontal and side crash test rating and IIHS top safety pick with optional electronic stability control. Class is standard 5-passenger large cars.
Wall Street had that sinking feeling today. At one point, the Dow was down 450 points, finally closing 311 points lower at 13,473. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus blames a perfect storm of troubling economic news.
You've got a continuing housing market slump. You've got the subprime mortgage mess now spilling over into the rest of the mortgage market. And now a new concern to add to the mix, which is a credit crunch in the corporate lending market.
Companies are finding it more expensive to borrow to finance mergers and acquisitions. And then there's the rising cost of energy.
You add higher oil prices to the mix. We now have crude oil nearing $80 a barrel, and this really is a recipe or at least a reason for investors thinking about getting out of the market to sell right now.
It was the worst session since the big sell-off of February 27th. Today, the S&P 500 lost $300 billion in market value. Michael Vick isn't used to this kind of treatment. He was booed by a crowd of animal rights activists as he arrived at the federal courthouse in Richmond, Virginia, to be arraigned on felony dogfighting charges. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was there.
Dressed impeccably, speaking politely, Vic stood tall and pleaded not guilty like his co-defendants. They will remain out of jail, All are banned from buying or selling dogs. Vic must forfeit any kennel licenses. Defense lawyer Billy Martin promises a counter-investigation.
We look forward to the opportunity to walk inside this courtroom saying to the world that Michael Vic is innocent.
Outside the court, shouting matches.
We're standing up for all dog fighting that's occurring in the United States.
I don't see nobody saying the man got the benefit of the doubt. The man has a right to innocence or proven guilty.
The trial before a jury here is scheduled for November 26th. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Richmond, Virginia.
By an overwhelming vote, the Senate today approved $3 billion for more fencing, more guards, more cameras and radar to secure the Mexican border. Dave Stoddard, a former Border Patrol agent who lives 5 miles from the border in Arizona, says that's a pleasant surprise.
When burglars aren't able to climb a fence, a 15-foot fence, with my TV on their back, then that means a greater chance of me keeping my TV.
A law in Hazleton, Pennsylvania that makes it harder for illegal immigrants to get jobs and find housing has been copied in other communities around the country, but today a federal judge struck it down as unconstitutional. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
We wanted to move in 90 days, and that was our goal.
Selling a home can be a challenge. I've been through this type of market before. I'm going to be there every step of the way to guide them through it.
Realtors I work with know the markets that they're in.
They know how to market it. They know how to sell it.
Interest rates are at historic lows, which means more buyers are in the market for a home like yours. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
The market is always changing, and I'll always be ready for it.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
You've reached Pearson Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearson, in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. While I'm on vacation, I've left you in the capable hands of Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Once again, his Bradness.
Okay, once again, stuck in the middle with you. Happy to be here. Nowhere I would rather be. We're going to be speaking momentarily about all things Iraq, military, veterans affairs with Scott Dick, our regular PBC military affairs contributor. And we will, of course, take your calls at 888-573-8372. That is 888-5-PETER-B. I keep telling you to be the media. Well, now is your chance. What's going on out there? What are you guys seeing out there? What should we be concerned about? What would you like to ask Scott Dick about or me about? Deborah Bowens, before we go to Scott Dick here, Deborah Bowens, top-to-bottom voting machine review is due tomorrow. It's a landmark review. No one has ever looked into voting machines like this. Four independent groups are going to be releasing their reports on all of the electronic voting machines certified across the state of California. I think we're going to get a big document dumped tomorrow, and this is a heads up for anyone within driving distance of Sacramento. On Monday, there's going to be a public comment period, a hearing, and we'd love you to be there. I'm down here in Houston, Texas, so I can't get there, but I would love for you guys to make some noise up there in Sacramento, because I promise you the voting machine vendors are going to be there in spades, as are the election clerks. who are not happy about this report. Another report that at least folks, RNC folks, will not be happy about. Check out truthout.org late this afternoon. Previously undisclosed documents detail how Republican operatives, with the knowledge of several White House officials, engaged in an illegal, racially motivated effort to suppress tens of thousands of votes during the 2004 presidential campaign in a state where George W. Bush was trailing his Democratic challenger, Senator John Kerry. The documents also contain details describing how Bush-Cheney 04 campaign officials and at least one individual who worked for White House political advisor Karl Rove planned to stop minorities residing in Cuyahoga County from voting on Election Day. Got that? The efforts to purge voters from registration rolls was spearheaded by Tim Griffin, a former RNC opposition researcher. Griffin recently resigned his post as interim U.S. attorney for Little Rock, Arkansas. His predecessor, Bud Cummins, was forced out to make way for Griffin. They've got a whole bunch of emails from these guys concerning their, what did they call it here, their voter fraud strategy conference call. That was the plan. That's what we've been telling you about over at bradblog.com for years. Well, no one's been paying attention. Looks like PBS Now is paying attention because they're going to have a report on this tomorrow. We're going to have their producer of that report on, and hopefully Greg Palast will be on with us. And, maybe Deborah Bowen. All right, let's go to Scott Dick. I think we have him. We got Scott. Good deal. Scott Dick, our regular Peter B. Collins military affairs contributor. Oh, Scott, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brett. How are you? Thanks for letting me bother you on this Thursday afternoon.
You know what, everybody? Everything is bothering me today. What a mess we're looking at. I don't even know where to start in Iraq. I've got a stack of papers in front of me here about this mess. I could put my hand in the jar and pick one out, but I'll let you start. Where do you want to start with this week's mess in Iraq, Scott Dick?
I want to start with this circular reasoning being done by the White House. And it's a clever... What we're seeing, I think, is a 1-2 spin cycle here.
Yeah.
You know, I have a German washing machine that'll spin at 1600 RPM, and your clothes come out almost dry. And this is what we're getting from the White House.
How so? How are we getting the spin?
Well, here's July 24th, not 2007. 2007, July 24th. What is that, 2 days ago?
Yeah, I was going to say, right, 2 days ago. What are they saying?
President Bush flies to South Carolina and goes to Charleston Air Force Base. I've been there a couple of times. It's where they really run the big military strategic airlift from the United States to Iraq, to Germany, and Afghanistan.
Right.
And gave this speech. And it's breathtaking in its spin. Now, if we look at the American public... This
is the speech where he says that Iraq, Al-Qaeda has been in Iraq all along, and that's why we're in Iraq. Is that the speech you're talking about?
Yeah, and my favorite is this quote, and I hate to read to you, but I'm going to because I can't express it any other way.
Okay.
From his speech, in 2001, coalition forces destroyed Zarqawi's Afghan training camp, and he fled the country and he went to Iraq, where he set up operations with terrorist associates long before the arrival of coalition forces. Now, he's saying this to justify why we're in Iraq and how critics are wrong about this being the central front.
Right.
He continued, in the violence and instability following Saddam's fall. Now, who provided the country with the violence and instability?
Exactly. And Zarqawi was, and Al-Qaeda in general, they didn't like Saddam Hussein.
Well, Zarqawi was able to expand dramatically the size, scope, and lethality of his operation. In 2004, I don't know what he was doing from 2003, but... The president fast forwards. 2004, Zarqawi and his terrorist group formally joined Al-Qaeda, pledged allegiance to Osama bin Laden, and he promised to follow his orders in jihad. So the 911 commission,
right,
Intel, everybody else said there was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq. So this is how he conflates the two. So Zarqawi was a Jordanian terrorist who went to Iraq. We don't even know that for sure. We have to take President Bush's word for that. And he created Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and therefore Al-Qaeda is in Iraq. Therefore, the war in Iraq is in the central fight against Al-Qaeda.
And indeed, an analyst over at the Boston Globe, there was a Boston Globe piece just, I think, today or yesterday, says that, who is this? Rare testimony before two House committees. Edward Gistaro, the National Intelligence Officer for Transnational Threats, said that al-Qaeda terrorists operating in South Asia are better equipped to attack the United States than the network's followers in Iraq are. Asked which arm of al-Qaeda concerned him the most, Gistaro told a joint session of the House Armed Services and Intelligence panels that it was al-Qaeda in South Asia that concerned him, essentially Pakistan and Afghanistan, much more so than al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Right, and this is a follow-up to the Intel estimate, where they came out and said that we've actually made a stronger, tougher, better equipped, al-Qaeda in Iraq. Basically what we've done is we've helped Osama bin Laden in his business development cycle. The guy's a businessman. People forget that.
Right.
We call him a terrorist, but he's a multi-billionaire businessman. He's done business development in Iraq, and the Intel estimate came out and said they're stronger and more powerful and more popular than they ever were before. They have successes in recruiting, etc. Bush said, I don't think that's true. Now, he gets to cherry pick what intel he wants to believe, just like they did the run-up to the war. So now he says, that's not true. So where is he getting his information? If the intel community is producing the intel estimate, these guys aren't from the American Enterprise Institute.
Well, we're going to talk about these guys from the American Enterprise Institute in a moment here after we get back. But I'll tell you, this guy who says that Bush is just dead wrong looks to be the chief U.S. Intel analyst for the CIA. I mean, the guys who worked, these are guys in, if not in the administration, I guess he's a career guy, but our own government is telling us that George W. Bush is lying. Surprised?
And Brad, see, the last bastion of support is that 31% of people in the United States that believe that Bush is doing the right thing. And a big portion of that is from the American military. The statistics are staggering, where the average population, 73%, know that there's no combination, you know, there's no correlation between al-Qaeda in Iraq and the attacks on 9/11. There's a large percentage of American military that still believe that. And one of the ways this gets done is by Bush going to South Carolina to American Air Force Base and giving speeches like this.
Well, and who are those 28%, by the way? If you are one of the 28%ers, the Bush dead-enders out there who still support this president, who still support this war, please give us a call. We'd love to hear why at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Oh, please call us and tell us that we're fighting them over here, there, so we don't have to fight them over here or whatever crap that is. We'd love to hear from you. We're speaking with Scott Dick, our regular PBC military affairs contributor. We've got a lot ahead. He mentioned the American Enterprise Institute outlining another lie from Bush, who said he will listen to the generals on the ground. Well, apparently he didn't when he came up with his surge strategy. Are you shocked? Come on back for much more of the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll explain that and so much more. 888-5-PETER-B. We're right back.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for a great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super-grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia and Bruno's Markets Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, Grove Market, PG, Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets, Santa Cruz, and Star Market, Salinas. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
And quickly, we're going to take a look at traffic northbound 17 before the Cats Restaurant. Had word of an injury crash there. Looks like everything now cleared up, but the traffic was rather slow, to say the least. The CHP also was telling us about a problem. Let's see here. I believe they were telling us a problem. It's as we get our computer updated here, and it's located East Martine Avenue, Murphy and Hollister. It's a non-injury crash being reported.
To the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman in for Peter B. from BradBlog.com. We're speaking with our regular military affairs contributor, Scott Dick, talking about the mess in Iraq for a change. Of course, I challenged callers to call in. We're trying to find those 28 percenters. Scott, you don't mind talking to those folks, do you?
I don't. I've talked to a few of them before, and
yeah.
It's an exercise in futility, I have to say, though, Brad.
Well, that's true. You may be right, but I'd still love to hear from them because they don't get their viewpoint out quite enough.
Yeah, I'm just being sarcastic. You know, one of the things that Bush closed with or mentioned in his speech to the military, it was a photo op captive audience, and I've been a victim of those captive audiences, and you just stand and wait for hours,
right.
And everybody puts on a happy face for whoever the president happens to be. He was talking about Democrats and their ideas about Iraq, and he says the problem they have is with the facts. We are fighting bin Laden's al-Qaeda in Iraq. Iraq is central to the war on terror, and against this enemy, America can accept nothing less than complete victory.
Mm-hmm. And they dutifully all pass on those same lines. We had Max Blumenthal on yesterday, who went to a Chicken Hawk convention. I'm sorry, a college Republican convention, and interviewed these folks, and they all said that, you know, why do you support this? Oh, we're fighting over there, so we don't have to fight them over here. And then, of course, he asked them, great, are you going to sign up and go fight? No, I got bad knees. I got a bad back. I got acne. I can't do it. But they all, you know.
I have wealthy parents. That's one reason I'm in college. And you think I'm going to waste my time going to the military? I don't think so.
Well, that's exactly one of them said. It's not for me. You know, I'm going to fight the war here at home somehow by becoming a good speaker or
no,
something.
No, by spending a lot of getting a lot of corporate subsidies for my corporation that my daddy owns.
These people are just unbelievable. All right. Well, if they want to call, we're going to move you right to the top of the line. If you want to call in and tell us 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, let us know why the hell you're still one of the 28%ers who support this guy, George Bush, and this war. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, we were talking about this back and forth, the whiplash that we keep getting from the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, you know, I briefly mentioned the AIE, the American Enterprise Institute, which is an arm of the Republican Party, and it's funded by SCAIF. Anybody can go look at the SCAIF Mellon Foundations if you don't believe me.
Right.
See where they put their donations. They put it on their website. You'll see the AIE gets a bunch of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of neocons. The Wolfowitz is there after he's disgraced from the World Bank. He's there, et cetera.
He's back, yeah.
So you have John Boehner, how do you know how to
pronounce it? Boehner, Scott.
B-O-E-H-N-E.
And, you know, a guy with a name like yours should be very careful about that sort of thing, Scott.
Yeah, that's why it's okay for me to call him Boehner.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So here's a quote from him. It's yesterday. He says, "If they are not listening to reports from our generals today, how does anyone believe they will make an honest and objective decision in September?" Boehner said. "Our national security is not a political football, and Republicans aren't going to treat it as such." Does that now that has a screaming neon lie?
Yep. Well, here's what they said. Bush has been saying for how long that, you know, he's going to listen to that the troop levels and all the everything else, the strategy was going to be determined by the commanders on the ground, the generals in the field, not, this is a direct quote, actually, I'm going to remind the people in the audience today, this was earlier this month, that troop levels will be decided by our commanders on the ground, not by political figures in Washington, D.C., but as it turned out, in fact, there was this effort from these folks at the American Enterprise Institute, led by Fred Kagan, who's been talking, and we've been reporting on this guy at Bradblog. Credit to Alan Breslauer over there, who's pulled out a lot of this stuff on Fred Kagan. He's wanted this surge forever, and so while some of the commanders, correct me here, but didn't General Casey, didn't these guys want to not have a surge? Weren't they looking at an alternate strategy?
Well, Kagan and an Army general, a lieutenant general named John Keane, might be even a four-star, they got into the White House early. Now, Keane, we've interviewed Joe Galloway, who wrote We Were Soldiers Once and Young, has been a military correspondent since 1964.
Mm.
And he knows these generals, three-stars, four-stars, two-stars, backwards and forwards. He's a beer-drinking buddy, Shinseki, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
He said Keane is, you know, he described Keane as a dullard and not exactly known for his strategic thinking. So Keane and Kagan carry the neocon conservative agenda to the White House, and people should be offended and outraged. And here you have Donnelly, who was a senior planner at the American Enterprise Institute, saying it became sort of a, he's talking about the briefing to the administration, it became sort of a magnet for the movers and shakers in the White House. He's talking about these weekly briefings on the surge plan. Donnelly said the AEI approach won out over plans from the Pentagon and U.S. Central Command. The two Army generals then in charge of Iraq had opposed a troop increase.
I don't understand, but George Bush said it was going to be done by the commanders, not the political figures in Washington, D.C. It's as if he's not telling the truth.
I think somebody's lying, and I don't think it's this Donnelly guy. I think he's quite proud of himself.
And Kagan, by the way, has also been lying because he said, this was exactly the plan I called for. Well, his original plan, I believe the number was 60,000 troops or something like that he called for, and then he kept scaling it down until it came to exactly what it was that Bush ended up calling for officially, although I think he's putting a lot more in there than he actually told us he was going to originally. Is he not? Support troops, etc.?
Well, yeah, I don't know if they have any more troops to put in there.
there's nobody left.
There's nobody left. And, you know, I was just looking at this quote. That, you know, I think they should just muzzle this guy because he's not doing the administration any favors when he says stuff like, in January, President Bush announced the surge, which kicked off the next month. I think without the AEI exercise, it would be highly unlikely would have followed a completely different course over the last 6 months in Iraq.
No doubt. And, hey, Alan Breslauer, give us a call if you want. He put together a great mashup on the lies that this Kagan has been telling you. All right, more with Scott Dick after this message. We're going to talk about the general who may be demoted because of Pat Tillman, a lawsuit against the Veterans Affairs Committee, oh, so much more ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments. Their unique perspective helps them see domestic and international markets in a different light. Franklin Templeton Investments gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. Is obesity contagious? That may sound a bit outrageous, but researchers say it's true. We do what we see others do. James Fowler of UCAL San Diego says when friends get fat, we go as they go.
A person's chances of becoming obese increase by 57% if they have a friend who becomes obese. Similarly, a person's chances of becoming obese increase by 40% if they have a sibling who becomes obese. And a person's chances of becoming obese increase by 37% if a spouse becomes obese.
More after this.
Are you thinking about buying one of those inexpensive memory foam mattresses? Think again. Tempur-Pedic is the only mattress made from authentic Tempur material. The one that shapes and contours to your body, guaranteeing a restful, rejuvenating night's sleep. Those knockoffs don't even come close. Call Tempur-Pedic today at 1-800-805-3495, and they'll send you a free video, a sample of the proprietary Tempur material, and a 90-day trial certificate. You won't get that from those other guys. Tempur-Pedic is the real deal. Call 1-800-805-3495.
I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice then. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333, we'll name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333. That's 800-282-3333 for the hottest gift.
Can you catch fatness from others? Yes, you can, says study author James Fowler.
There's a long literature on the influence of social support on health. This is the first one to show how obesity actually spreads through the social network from person to person to person.
When it comes to body size, girls affect girls, guys affect guys.
The effect is stronger among same gender pairs, which helps to explain why we found friends having a stronger influence on one another than spouses.
Co-author Harvard's Nicholas Christakis found that, too. It's like monkey see and monkey do. What we see around us every day, we tend to think of as okay.
People look around them and see people gaining weight and then might change their attitudes about what constitutes an acceptable body size.
But there's a silver lining here. From all of this, it does appear that if fat's contagious, it may be true that thinness is contagious, too. The point seems to be well known. We don't get thin or fat alone.
Treating people in groups may be more effective than treating them individually. So collective or group dieting or efforts to participate in sports and other activities that are collective may be more effective than individual attempts alone.
Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of this program can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
5, 4, 3, 2...
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is away. But the show must go on. And now, from Houston, here's more from Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
There can be no doubt that Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
We're resting our case on the fact that Saddam Hussein has developed weapons of mass destruction, has them in his possession.
The real threat to peace is Saddam Hussein and his possession of weapons of mass destruction.
There's a smoking gun, and it involves weapons of mass destruction.
They have weapons of mass destruction. That is what this war was about.
Every statement I make today is backed up by sources, solid sources. These are not assertions. What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence.
A massive and sudden horror.
Massive death and destruction.
Death on a massive scale.
The danger to our country is grave.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
The Iraqi regime could launch a biological or chemical attack in as little as 45 minutes.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
The regime is seeking a nuclear bomb, and with fissile material, could build one within a year.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
The Iraqi regime possesses biological and chemical weapons.
Oh, do they?
The Iraqi regime is building the facilities necessary to make more biological and chemical weapons.
Oh, really?
Keep on rocking me, baby.
In a speech to Congress, the Prime Minister opened the door to the possibility that you may be proved wrong about the threat from weapons, Iraq, weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, we won't be proven wrong.
Won't be proven wrong. The war built on lies from the administration built on lies. And hopefully they will go down on those lies as well. Brad, over in the BradBlog.com chat room, Agent 99 points us over to an online poll right now of Lou Dobbs asking, do you believe U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez should resign? And, of course, Lou Dobbs, not exactly a lefty pinko. The results, as of this moment, let's see, 9,395 votes. It's an online poll. 95% say yes, he should resign. 5% say no. Heck of a job, Gonzo. All right, we're speaking with Scott Dick, our regular military affairs correspondent. We've got some news I know we want to cover here about Pat Tillman in a moment, but this whole mess is coming due in September, right? We'll get it all sorted out by then, Scott Dick?
Absolutely not. Now, here's what's interesting.
Yeah.
I think the administration and everybody else, all of us, need to perk up our ears. You know, Mitch McConnell, and I don't understand his saying, although I might have an answer for why he would say something like this. Now, he's the Senate Republican leader, and he's just been a total Bush apologist in the war in Iraq, fight them over there before they come here, et cetera, et cetera. On Tuesday, he was asked about the campaign plan, and his quote was, there are a lot of stories, a lot of different stories coming out of Iraq from various generals saying various things. Let me just say, as far as the Senate is concerned, September is the date we're looking to for the assessment from Crocker and Petraeus. That doesn't get their attention, then nothing on this planet will, Brad, because that's a guy who is really, he's had his finger in the hole in the dike.
Well, because the new word is that November is the new September. That's what we had been hearing, that, don't get your hopes up about September. It's going to be more like November.
I hate to interrupt you, but you know what? Summer 2008 is the new September 07.
Is that right?
Yes, right. And
where does that come from?
I'm a little confused by this Associated Press report, who is talking about the Bush strategy and the fact that it has a revision in place that's being written by Crocker and Petraeus. Now, apparently, the strategy was announced by Bush, and then the plan was written after that. I never in my entire military career ever heard of that. Heard a commander say, well, my plan is to blah, 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 and then write the plan after that.
So,
this is a dangerous thing. And apparently Crocker and Petraeus are now trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. In other words, this is failing, and they're saying, well, September 07, you know, yeah, that was flexible based on blah, 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 and now maybe summer. And that's the initial goal, just the initial goal of achieving localized security by summer 08.
And that was in the same week here where we get this report that the commanders in the field are preparing military operations through at least summer of 2009, according to Reuters. I suppose it's appropriate to make all, you know, contingency plans along these lines to stay as long as they feel the job needs to be done. Shouldn't they also be making withdrawal plans at the same time? And are your sources telling you that they have even drawn up such plans, Scott?
Well, even, you know, I don't really have any sources at that level, but when Hillary Clinton goes to the Pentagon and says, what do you have going on, they call her, you know, unpatriotic.
Right.
So, you know, if a sitting Senate member can't get a straight, honest answer from the Department of Defense, I mean, the likes of us, Brad, and the media, the knee-shaky, you know, media, they're not going to get anything either. This is really frustrating, I think, for a lot of people who have their family members in Iraq. And there's something else going on with the family members that most people aren't aware of, is that a lot of units that are serving in Iraq and Afghanistan are moving. And when the unit moves, the family members move, and so they put all these people on alert to move from Germany back to the United States to Texas, and last week they just popped up and said, maybe we're not going to move them. So not only have we provided ultimate turmoil in the lives of the active duty military, but their families are getting a big jerk around right now as well.
Well, they are, and I wanted to talk about Tillman, but let's for a second jump to another story here that came out this week. The veterans, large veterans group, are suing the U.S. over shameful failures in health care. When these guys come back, well, I think this is a 12,000, it's a class action lawsuit. Representing about 12,000 American veterans who are saying they're not getting their care, they're failing to the backlog of people who are applying for care here. They're not even reviewing their applications. We've got folks with traumatic stress disorder who just can't get care anymore. They face a backlog, it says, at the Department of Veterans Affairs of 600,000 claims, Scott.
That's 600,000. The suit itself is 73 pages long. It took that long to describe what this suit is all about. And, of course, one of the big, I believe it was American Legion, came out against the lawsuit and said it was misplaced because they're not really for veterans anyway. They're about their own political agenda.
Who, the American Legion?
Yeah. I'm not quite sure about the Veterans of Foreign Wars, but it's Nicholson resigning, $6 million worth of computers missing. It's kind of been the Veterans Administration, except even Max Cleland had a tough time dealing with it. It's been sort of this dumping ground for unlicensed doctors, for foreign doctors waiting credentials, for people who couldn't get jobs in other hospitals because they don't have standards, they don't kick butt, they've let veterans over the years decay and die. They have long lines, substandard care, crumbling infrastructure. It's been like that in our entire nation's history. And we just have so many soldiers going, and Marines and airmen going back and forth between Iraq and Afghanistan. It's time. It's time to deal with this. And Peter and I have had this conversation. You know, there are still World War I veterans alive. I think there's one left.
Right.
So now that's how long we're going to be taking care of these kids. Just from this you know, the first big conflict of the 21st century, at the beginning of the 21st century.
Yeah, and the rate these guys are going, we're going to see many more ahead. The veterans that I talk to, they say that once you get into the VA program, that the hospitals are actually pretty good, but it's tough to get in the first place. And yes, we saw with, you know, Walter Reed, everything crumbling and so forth. Do you hear that they do not get the type of care once they get into the system that they ought to have?
Well, that's just everybody. Maybe it's just everybody complains. You know, soldiers love to complain, but you know, you have.
But you talk to more of them than I do, I'm sure. So, I haven't really
quizzed anybody recently on this. I know that there's the issue for us here in our area was a veteran cemetery nobody wanted to pay for, but they've gotten that taken care of after 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it's been sort of a game that they've played with our veterans and the VA, and the game is wait. And if you make them wait long enough, they'll just die off.
When we had, I remember certainly in the 80s, we would see the homeless population grew, and, so many folks were Vietnam vets, and, who were broken down emotionally, physically, and everything else. And are we going to see another generation like that in our country of Iraq vets?
We're already seeing it. We're already seeing the mentally ill homeless to our veterans. We've seen veterans who came back from Iraq and Afghanistan and misbehaved in their units because their PTSD was not properly diagnosed, and they were chaptered or actually given bad conduct discharges for their subsequent misbehavior.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the case in Colorado Springs last week about how they, instead of properly diagnosing PTSD, they just said it was pre-enlistment conditions, and so they got nothing. So they dumped them out on the street and hope. As a sergeant used to say, you can blank in one hand and hope in the other, and see which one fills up first. Hope that these soldiers, these veterans of all different ages now, because we have so many reservists and mm-hmm. National Guardsmen who have been, 35, 40-year-old sergeants and sergeant first classes versus guys in their 20s normally.
Right.
It's going to be a painful awareness, and it's now because we've had these reservists and National Guardsmen across the country, not clustered around military bases.
Do you suppose the resignation of Jim Nicholson last week, the head of the Veterans Affairs Department, did that have anything to do with this lawsuit, which I think was announced, just a couple of days later?
I'm not sure what this guy's deal is. I think he was woefully unprepared for the job. I think he got the job as a political payoff, much like the other crony program that Bush runs,
mm-hmm.
as far as rewarding pioneers, people who raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for his campaign, got these really plum jobs that they were not qualified for. And we can talk about FEMA, the VA, Red Cross, et cetera, et cetera. And so he just may have got to the point where there's so much bad news is coming from so many different directions. He's not going to make his future board-sitting career as a successful guy on the VA. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think this was just a stepping stone to political office or something else, and he's getting out while he can.
Well, clearly he was pushed, though. He didn't jump, did
well,
he?
Okay.
Well, I mean, they've been getting all this heat over Walter Reed and everything else, and who knows? Maybe it's a rat from a sinking ship. There's a lot of them right now.
I think that's probably who knows what else? We don't know what else is going on in the VA. What hasn't bubbled to the surface yet? And I'm sure there's going to be we've had contracts go bad in the active duty front. What's going on in the VA system? We have no idea.
Yeah. We do. We don't. Let's take a quick break here. Back with one more segment with Scott Dick. Election Integrity Hour. Thereafter, Tova Wang speaks for the first time. Hope you're going to stick with us. Also, your calls. 888-5-PETER-B. We're still waiting for the Bush supporters, the 28%ers, the dead enders, to give us a call and tell us why. We got the lines open for you. Just tell us why. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Peter B. Collins Show. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale reminding you to listen in every Saturday for my show, 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays 4 to 5 p.m., honest talk about addictions and how recovery is possible. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. With addictions now the number one fastest rising disease in America, I mean all addictions, sex, food, gambling, alcohol, shopping, we are all affected. So listen in and call in. Saturdays 4 to 5 with me, Sheila Gale, brought to you by Sun Street Centers, prevention and recovery centers serving the Monterey Peninsula for over 30 years.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at the very latest and start off with a problem working right now. It's in King City, northbound 101, right at Canal, or just before Canal Street. We have a bicyclist that is in the middle lane there, and it is causing a little bit of a problem. Meanwhile, San Martin, it's East San Martin at Murphy Canyon. We do have a report of an accident working there, and it looks like that one is still working. In fact, it's still blocking the intersection as we speak. Other than that, northbound and southbound 17, no problems to report there, which is always great news. And no problems to report northbound or southbound Highway 1. A support brought to you by Office Depot. Need great-looking documents? At Office Depot, you'll find Xerox certified print specialists to make sure your job is done right. Guaranteed. Stop by Office Depot or visit them online 24/7. Office Depot, taking care of business. That's traffic on KRXA.
We'll see you in September. That's General Petraeus' message. Although maybe it might be November. Maybe it might be 2008, 9. Who can keep up anymore? According to a new Washington Post ABC News poll, Americans trust Democrats rather than the Bush administration to find a solution to a war that remains enormously unpopular. And they prefer that the Democratic-controlled Congress make decisions about a possible withdrawal of U.S. forces. By a margin of 2-1, Americans said Congress, rather than the president, should make the final decision about when to withdraw U.S. forces from Iraq. Even 3 in 10 Republicans side with Congress over the president on this question. More than 6 out of 10 Americans in the new poll said Congress should have the final say on when to bring the troops home. Majorities of Democrats, independents, and even Republicans regard Bush too inflexible on the war. Asked whether Bush is willing enough to change policies on Iraq, nearly 8 in 10 Americans said no. The people get it, Scott Dick, if not the Bush himself.
Well, he's just stalling, Brad, to get us to the end of the election cycle so he can leave office as a war hero, and whoever follows him, Republican or Democrat, is going to screw it up, and they're going to get out of Iraq, and any time that anything happens in the planet, he's going to say, see? And I just want to point out for people, for listeners, Brad, that terrorism is a tactical operation, and it can be employed by across the political spectrum, far right, far left, it doesn't matter, in the middle, communist, socialist, democratic government. There's so many cases of what we describe as terrorism. It is a tool. And one of our great generals, Odom, said, you know, declaring war on terrorism is like declaring war on the night attack. So as long as there's one book on the library shelf that talks about these non-linear battle kind of fights, you know, excusing bombs or to gain attention to have a propaganda victory, people will employ those tactics. It's about addressing people's needs. You can't kill these people off. You can kill them all. And in 10 years, somebody will grow up, they'll take the book off the library, and they'll read about the war in Iraq and go, aha. So this, it's fundamentally, the whole thing is fundamentally flawed, and we got to kill the head of the snake.
Well, it is, but I don't see how it how Bush helps himself by running out the clock at this point and being a war hero in 08. I don't see that happening. Scott,
I'm talking about in his own mind.
Oh, hell, war hero in his own mind.
In his own mind.
Well, that's true. He is a hero in his own mind. You had mentioned $6 million worth of computers that disappeared from the VA, I guess, offices around the country. Phil in the bradblog.com chat room talks about the stolen ID databases in the at the VA, and that he got a letter from the VA saying that his ID could have been stolen. Was that part of the $6 million of computers that disappeared, or is that a completely separate scandal?
Well, this is part of their auditing, and who knows what part of the scandal. I got the same kind of letter last year when the laptop was taken home by a consultant who was authorized to take it home, and then he was fired for taking it home, even though he had a letter of authorization, because they just, you know, killed the messenger kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They got the laptop back, and I had a letter from the VA saying, no worries, don't really monitor it, don't worry about your credit, nothing bad happened.
All right, well, speaking of everything's fine, don't worry about a thing. Speaking of killing a messenger here, we've just got another minute or two. This Pat Tillman business is really bizarre, and they're using can you explain, before we get to this general who may be demoted, why the hell is the Bush administration using executive power to keep people from getting to the Tillman documents about what happened with his death?
It just proves how lame they are when it comes to supporting the military. The guy was killed in a friendly fire. There's no such thing as friendly fire. In a blue-on-blue engagement, they shot him and killed him, and then they lied about it. And, you know, Jessica Lynch said it best last April. She said, I'm still confused as why they chose to lie and tried to make me a legend when the real heroics of my fellow soldiers that day were, in fact, legendary. The truth of war is not always easy to hear, but it's always more heroic than the hype. They don't get it, and they just don't get it in this administration. They tell the truth and make it a tragedy instead of this stupidity compounded with tragedy.
Well, they certainly made a hero out of Tillman, who arguably was a hero, but when he was killed by friendly fire, blue on blue, as you say, they didn't want to release this information, and now it looks like a 3-star general may be demoted.
Yeah, back to retirement. See, all retired officers serve until like age 970.
Right.
And, you know, he's going to, and 3 stars and 4 stars have to retire, get permission from the Senate to retire at those levels, because those are nominative jobs. And so you don't get to keep those. Those aren't real ranks like brigadier or major general or captain are. So he got permission to retire as a 3-star, and he's going to be demoted. And, you know, I want somebody in your studio to start playing the air violin for him, because his retirement pay is going to go from $9,600 a month to $8,700 a month. So now, after his demotion, he's only going to get $104,376 a year.
Poor fellow. I hope he'll be okay.
My heart is just broken, and he'll sit on some board, and, you know, every day they'll have coffee, and they'll say, you got a bum deal.
And for what exactly is he being demoted? Have they told us what it is that is earning him this?
Yeah, he lied.
He lied.
He lied. He covered it up in...
Well, that usually gets you a promotion. There must be some mistake here.
Well, they got appointed somebody, and apparently they had another officer investigate and say, you know what, he lied. And they had a chance to warn Bush, and they didn't, and so Bush went public with this fairy tale about Lint Tillman, and, you know, it was just, it just has hurt the family so bad. It just angers me to no end, Brad. This is an administration.
The family has hurt the family? What family?
The Tillman family.
I see.
And all veterans, all families that have family members killed in Iraq, they don't know, they cannot trust the government. This is like 22 of these cases.
Mm-hmm.
Tillman is just the most public.
Sure.
When they tell your husband, son, brother, nephew, whatever, was killed in a, you know, firefight, he was KIA, killed in action, if it turns out, no, he's run over by a car, he's killed by another soldier, he committed suicide, or he's shot by his own troops. And that's not a way for, you know, people want to think of their veterans who were killed in this kind of conflict as heroes, and then you find out that, you know, no, he took his own life, or he's killed by an ex-lover or some awful thing, but they lied to you for a number of months. I think they're trying to, I don't know, I can't get into my head why they would do that. Stillman was so public, Brad.
Yes, I know. It's unbelievably bizarre, this entire Alice in world, Wonderland world that we're living in. Scott, I got to get out. Scott Dick, thank you so much, sir. Our regular PBC military affairs contributor. Thanks for all you do, my friend.
You're welcome, Brad. Anytime.
All right, we're going to be back with our Election Integrity Hour. A quick update on tomorrow's events up in Sacramento. Deborah Bowen's top-to-bottom review. And then, for the first time, at least since she's been ungagged, Tova Wang going to talk to us about the voter fraud report that the EAC gamed. She's ungagged and she's ready to talk right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Tom Wolfe, in his book The Right Stuff, chronicled the hard partying ways of the test pilots who became the first American astronauts. Reportedly, some of that culture still exists. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports.
On at least two occasions, astronauts were allowed to fly even after flight surgeons warned they were dangerously drunk. That's according to the magazine Aviation Week and Space Technology, which obtained a copy of new findings by a NASA health panel.
The talk in the hallways of NASA is that one of these incidents was a Soyuz launch and another was a T-38 jet flight.
The Soyuz is Russia's primary spacecraft, on which an American astronaut would basically be along for the ride. A T-38 is a high-speed jet used by NASA for training.
NASA plans a news conference tomorrow to discuss the health panel's findings. Two people are reported dead, four injured after an explosion at the Mojave Air and Spaceport, a facility in California's Mojave Desert used by civilian rocket programs. The cause of the blast isn't known. It was just last week that the Dow closed above 14,000. Now it's more than 500 points lower, losing 311 points in a big sell-off today. CBS News correspondent Kelly Wallace reports.
The closing bell couldn't come soon enough for Wall Street watchers. The Dow plummeted, at one point more than 400 points, due to mounting worries about housing, higher oil prices, and an ever-tightening credit market.
These aren't all brand new worries, but you know they were all sort of accentuated today by some clear evidence that some of our fears are coming true.
One of those fears that the real estate market is hurting more than previously thought. New home sales for June were worse than expected, down 6.6% from May. National Home Builders reported significant losses for the third quarter.
And the nation's largest mortgage lender says even borrowers with good credit are starting to fall behind on their home equity loans. Supporters and critics of Michael Vick were outside the federal courthouse in Richmond, Virginia today when he was arraigned on dogfighting charges. He and his co-defendants all pleaded innocent. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was there.
One of Vick's lawyers, Billy Martin, read a statement in which the NFL star apologized to his mother. "I take these charges very seriously," the statement said. Martin says he's launching a counter-investigation.
He is not guilty of these allegations.
All four defendants chose a jury trial, the scheduled date, November 26th. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Richmond, Virginia.
These are felony charges. If convicted, Vick could get up to 5 years in prison. A federal judge has struck down the new law in Hazleton, Pennsylvania that was aimed at keeping illegal immigrants out of town. The law set fines for landlords who knowingly rent to illegals and denied business permits to companies that give them jobs. Other communities around the country have adopted similar laws following Hazleton's lead. This is CBS News.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Ever run out of ink at the wrong time? Office Depot has the solution. Office Depot ink and toner is always low priced, guaranteed. Office Depot has over 500 choices in store and thousands more online, including our own Office Depot brand, which will save you 10%. Plus, get $3 off your next in-store purchase for each empty ink and toner cartridge you bring in, up to 25 per day. Office Depot, taking care of business. Selections vary by location. See store for details.
When a professional driver zooms in for a pit stop, his crew gives his vehicle everything it needs for top performance. He needs the best, and so do you. Hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during Pit Stop Savings Days. Our crew is the best in the business. Ford trained technicians who use genuine Ford parts. Race in for great service deals. Only at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Put the pedal to the metal. Pit Stop Savings Days end September 9th.
We start early and leave late, but are we really working all the hours in between? CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett takes a look at a new survey.
Ever do this at work?
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
People are bored at work. They don't have anything to do.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Salary.com's Bill Coleman says typically Americans waste 102 minutes a day at work.
35% said they're wasting time via personal internet use.
After that, we're
socializing with coworkers.
And then
we're conducting personal business.
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
At work, Americans say
their hours are too long.
But they do claim to donate personal time to their work at night and on weekends. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Emergency teams have been put on standby in Texas, where heavy rain forecast this weekend could produce even more flooding. Today, the state climatologist declared Texas drought-free for the first time in at least a decade. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Love me when I turn six.
Of course I will love you when you're six.
Will you love me when I'm 10?
Of course I will love you when you're 10.
They'll always be your baby, which is why we've introduced the sedan rated the safest full-size car in America, the all-new 2008 Ford Taurus.
When I'm 15?
And while you can't engineer a mother's love, you can engineer safety. Taurus offers 6 standard airbags and features patented space architecture, which directs crash energy away from you. Plus, Taurus received 5-star crash test safety ratings for front and side impacts and is an IIHS top safety pick.
Will you love me when I'm as old as you?
I will love you forever.
The all-new Ford Taurus. Ford. Bold moves. Visit your Ford dealer or go to FordVehicles.com.
Based on NHTSA 5-star frontal and side crash test rating and IIHS top safety pick with optional electronic stability control. Class is standard 5-passenger large cars.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast. I'm off on vacation, and pleased to welcome your able blogger and all-around radio guy, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
We've secretly replaced the White House press corps with actual reporters.
Yes, we have.
Son, you gotta work late.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
Oh, yes, there is. Your cure for the summertime blues. The Peter B. Collins Show. One more hour of our broadcast today, live from Houston, Texas. We're glad you could be with us. We've got, Tova Andrea Wang coming up very shortly here in our Election Integrity Hour. She will be speaking live for the first time in her first broadcast interview since being released from her non-disclosure agreement, is the nice way to put it. A gag order is more accurate, I think. She's the one who wrote the voter fraud report for, along with Job Serebrov, hope I'm getting the pronouncing that right, that found, guess what? There was no massive epidemic of voter fraud so much as the Republicans would have liked you to believe it. She was commissioned by the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission. She diligently went about her report and submitted it They didn't like it. They buried it. And then they altered it. And finally, they kept her for speaking for months now. It's been almost a year. She's finally been given permission to speak. She's going to speak to us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. After we go quickly here to John Gideon, our friend at VotersUnite.org, to catch us up on the very latest. It'll be a quick segment, I think, because we want to get to Tova. But big report coming out tomorrow from Deborah Bowen in Sacramento, her top-to-bottom review of the voting systems, a landmark review. John Gideon, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's leading the voting news today, my friend?
Well, before we get into California, I just want to quickly say that a report has just been released by someone, an activist in New York State, that we just put it up on VotersUnite.org. I encourage people to go take a look at it. It concerns the reliability of the of voting machine vendors. It's called More Evidence of Vendor Unfitness by Andy Novick.
This is in New York State?
Pardon me?
In New York State?
Yes, in New York State. But this is this report, it's 60 pages long, and it just tells it all about the main vendors, Sequoia, ES&S, Diebold, and then also Liberty Voting Systems, which is also trying to sell in New York State. And it's specific to New York State, but the information is good nationally. I mean, it's going to open some eyes and make some differences. So
well, no doubt, because what we find out in all of these reports, I mean, very rarely are these machines just used in a single state or a single county. They're used all over the place.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons, note my segue, John Gideon, that this study here in California is so important, that's coming out tomorrow, because it's going to affect the entire nation. And I suspect this is a landmark first time that these machines have actually been independently studied to see if they can be hacked. To look at the source code directly firsthand. And before I get your thoughts on what the clerks are, the election county clerks around California have to say about this, let me just let folks know the reports are Secretary of State tells the Brad blog that they will be released in full tomorrow. These will include all of the team's findings in the four areas of the voting system review, but there will be no opinions about what the state or county should do. Then next Monday, this is July 30, so this is coming right up, a public hearing will be held in Sacramento at 10 a.m. It will begin with two principal investigators presenting an overview of the findings, followed by the vendor's response. I guess they get a response. And then a general public comment period. So we would really love to see folks show up in Sacramento and speak out on the findings, because we know that the vendors and the county clerks are already set to attack Secretary of State Deborah Bowen for doing what she was elected to do, which was look into these machines. And then finally, on August 3rd, Bowen will give us her decisions concerning system certification and what will actually happen from here on out. And by the way, we've invited Secretary Bowen to appear with us tomorrow after the findings are released. We haven't heard whether she can make it or not, but we're hoping so. Okay, John Gideon. Concerning this review, the clerks have come out against it. The California Elections, Association of Clerks and Elections Officials.
Yes.
We know they're against this report. They've been making noise about it, and they've said that they might not have to follow, if she does decertify these systems, they might not have to follow the Bowen's certification or decertification. They can do whatever they want. Do they have a legal leg to stand on, John Gideon?
Well, not from people that I've talked to. Any legal leg is really tenuous at best, and they're going to possibly try to claim that the timeliness of this and any hearings or lack of hearings violated the law, and therefore it shouldn't matter anymore, and they should be able to just go ahead and use whatever they want to use. Now, of course, the reason that everything is working out with the schedule that you said was so that it gets into the proper schedule and meets all the proper deadlines and everything else per the law. So I think that the Deborah Bowen and the teams that did the research have really done a great job, and they've got it down right down to where they need to get it.
Well, at least as far as the timing goes, we don't know what they're going to end up finding, but for the timing, they've got to have a public comment period and then 6 months before any election, and now the California primaries have been moved up till February, so the clerks can't complain about timing, can they?
No, they're going to try to complain about something, so...
But none of the attorneys you talked to have been able to figure out what the hell they're talking about.
Well, no, they like I said, they seem to think that probably the only thing they can talk about is timing and possibly something about hearings. But as far as anything else in the law, I haven't been able to find anything. And when I did find something I thought was a possibility, I was told that nope, that ain't gonna work. So I think that counties are maybe, unless they found something somewhere, they're very possibly going to end up having to go along to get along.
Pulling or they'll pull a Dick Cheney, George Bush, and say, we don't have to do what the Secretary of State tells us
That's
to.
Right.
We'll do whatever we want. Very good. Anything else of note here in today's Daily Voting News for the moment?
Just want to make sure everybody knows that yesterday's interview with Greg Luke.
Yes.
Okay.
From Voice of the Voters?
That's right.
That will be available tomorrow, correct?
Yep, at www.voiceofthevoters.org.
He was speaking with our friend Marianne Gould out in Philadelphia about the concerns about the Feinstein bill in the Senate, and I'm sure he had some...
Excellent interview.
Very good. Voiceofthevoters.org. Check that out tomorrow, as if you're not going to be busy enough. It's going to be a big day tomorrow, John. I hope you're ready.
I know. I'll get some sleep tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, you go sit out by the pool.
Oh, that's what I do.
All right.
Thank you, John Gideon from VotersUnite.org. If you check out BradBlog.com right after we go off the air today, Thursday, you will find the latest voting news headlines from around the country in John's Daily Voting News Report. Okay, when we come back here, Tova, Andrea Wang, boy, I got a lot to ask her about. And these cretins, frankly, who are trying to game our electoral system. Boy, if you haven't seen this truthout.org report, these guys who want to spread democracy around the world, they're lying. They don't want to spread it anywhere, and they certainly want to kill it back here at home, in the homeland. We'll use their words. Tova Andrea Wang right here in her first live broadcast interview since becoming ungagged on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman. We're back in a moment.
Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
All right, folks, let's take a look at traffic and give you the very latest information. Well, since we last spoke, we're going to update you with a problem. It's located, let's see, CHP telling us about this situation. It's in King City, northbound 101, just before Canal Street. It's an accident being worked right now. It's actually a bicycle in the middle lane. The first report is an accident, but they're just saying it's just a debris now. Just somebody left their bike there. Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Morrissey Boulevard. It is a crash there. It's on the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved in this accident. And if you're traveling in the Hollister area on Highway 25 at 156, we have a two-car crash. It is on the shoulder. Traffic slowing down to check out the activity. CHP is on scene there. The support brought to you by PG&E. Look for the blue and gold PG&E stickers when buying your compact fluorescent light bulbs. You'll save on the price and you'll be helping the environment.
That's a message from the United States Elections Assistance Commission to Tova Andrea Wang, our next guest here, speaking out, I believe, for the first time, certainly on live broadcast radio, since she has been ungagged by the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, for whom she was commissioned to write a report on voter fraud, a report that... Well, the Republicans amongst that Elections Assistance Commission apparently didn't care for. Tova Andrea Wang is a Democracy Fellow at the Century Foundation and a nationally known expert on election reform, Executive Director of the Century Foundation's post-2004 Election Reform Working Group, author of several election reform reports, and her commentary on this subject has appeared in the New York Times, Washington Post, National Journal, Associated Press, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Minneapolis Star Tribune, and all campaigns and elections in all manner of other places. She has been gagged and not allowed to speak about the way the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission took her report on voter ID. When they didn't like the findings, they buried it. Then, when people complained about it, they altered it and finally released it, but without letting her know it was being altered. Changed all kinds of things to say exactly what Tova Wang didn't believe in the first place, and then they gagged her for non-disclosure reasons. She was not allowed to speak. It took months before she was finally given the dispensation to do so. She joins us tonight for the first time to speak about exactly what this EAC bunch did. Tova Wang, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks so much. And just to clarify, the report that we did, and I did it with a co-author who was
a very specifically chosen Republican.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually a report on voter fraud and voter intimidation, and the voter ID report actually was a whole separate report that they sat on.
Did I say voter ID? Okay.
We'll talk about that tomorrow night.
You're right, and we will, and you're absolutely right. And the two things do sort of go together. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a minute. But the voter fraud and intimidation report, and your co-author there on this report was Job Sebarov. Am I saying his name right?
Sebarov.
Right.
I
always get it wrong. And he is a Republican, correct?
He is, and in fact was very active in the Republican Party and part of the Republican ballot security teams in Arkansas. So, you know, clearly he and I didn't always see completely eye to eye on everything, but we actually were able to work very well together as time went on and jointly came out with this draft report for the commission, which apparently they didn't take a liking to.
Yeah, I can't imagine why. Well, what were the findings here in general that, what did you find, and then we'll find what they didn't like about it?
Yeah, I mean, just to make it a real short summary, because, you know, it was a very detailed report and went on for pages and pages. I mean, we found, after interviewing dozens of experts in the field and election administrators and academics, going through just years and years of articles off of Nexus and then doing follow-up articles and reading all of the existing literature on this topic and going over cases, we found that the incidence of fraud at the polling place in terms of voter impersonation was very rare and that the allegations of it were pretty overstated. In fact, of the two dozen interviews that we did do with experts and elections officials across the ideological spectrum, only one person argued to us that voter fraud at the polls was the major problem we confronted in our voting process and was sort of this epidemic.
Only one person of all of the experts and everything you went to, only a single person was willing to make that claim to you?
Yes, and you, Brad, in particular, will love who it was. It was Jason Torchinsky from the American Center for Voting Rights. In addition, we said the voter intimidation was still a major problem, including things like challengers at the polls, which, you know, I think you've been talking a little bit about.
Mm-hmm.
Direct intimidation, especially, say, in Native American communities, we discovered this sort of thing. We found that there were a number of structural problems, of course, that led to fraud and intimidation. And we also found that people were not too happy with the Department of Justice and how they were handling the issues of voter fraud and voter intimidation, and that, you know, we might do well to take a look at how the Department of Justice is handling these cases and whether the laws need to be changed or the Department of Justice, you know, re-examine their priorities and so on.
like the Department of Justice is going to even listen to that. I mean, they have been making prosecution of voter fraud that's what this whole U.S. attorney purge was about. They don't care about what the facts really are. They're pushing voter fraud come hell or high water, and it seems like they wanted a report from the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission that would essentially give them the political wherewithal or the more political propaganda to put out there to say that voter fraud is a massive epidemic. We got to do something about it. Is that the sense that you got? Were you ever given any marching orders along those lines from the EAC?
No. In fact, the interesting thing to me about all of this in a lot of ways is that during the entire process during which we were working on this report, we worked very closely with the staff of the Election Assistance Commission, and the commissioners of the commission also were constantly informed about exactly what we were doing, the kinds of findings we were coming out with, the research we were doing, and nobody had any problem with it, actually, that was expressed to us, except on a few details that we worked out.
Right.
But in general, no one objected to it. No one said we were doing stuff that we weren't supposed to be doing or be going beyond the scope of our contract, which they're claiming now. And then we submitted our report in July of 2006, and we're literally actively barred from the EAC staff from ever having anything to do with it again. Refused to let us see what they were doing to it. They refused to let us work with them on any concerns that they had or revisions they wanted to make. We were completely shut out.
You had put in your draft report, right?
Exactly. And then without really even telling me, in December of 2006, conveniently after the election, they came out with their report, which they were entitled to do legally. They could do whatever they wanted. They owned the research, and I signed a contract to that effect. But what they came out with, and they used our names, was really not at all resembling what we had given to them in July. So that was quite troubling.
And yet your name stayed on the report as the authors at that point.
The cover page of the report does not say our names, but it says in the first page or two of the report, this is all based on the work done by myself and Job.
Right.
So I was very troubled, but as you referred to, I wasn't allowed, because of my contract, to say anything about it to anybody.
Well, you can talk about it now, and we're going to take a quick break here and come back with much more from Tova Andrea Wang on this incredible voter fraud report and the EAC's burying of it and the gag order that she received. Not allowed to talk about it. Much more ahead in your calls here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Stay with us.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Everyone wants to know a great hairstylist, and I want to share mine with you. Dallas and Ashley at Malibu by the Sea, 2024 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey. Malibu by the Sea is a full-service salon and bronzing spa. You can slip in for a tan and then have them create a stunning look for you. They perform cuts, color, multidimensional highlights, and the highest quality of human hair extensions. Dallas and Ashley, simply the best, making you look your best. Call them at 383-0807. That's 383-0807.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I founded a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and Peter B. on vacation. Hosting today from Houston, the citizen journalist who presides over bradblog.com. Here's Brad Friedman.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, doing double duty this week, sitting in for Peter B. as his guest host. Happy to be here. We're speaking with Tova Andrea Wang in her first live broadcast interview since being released from her non-disclosure contract after the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, the EAC, gamed her report, buried it, then altered it, gamed it, and then kept her from speaking about it. And Tova, earlier I actually confused it with the voter ID report, and I think it's we need to make people understand why this is important and why the folks, these various GOP operatives out there. You mentioned the American Center for Voting Rights, one of the top snake oil salesmen when it comes to selling this notion of an epidemic of voter fraud. The reason they're doing it is so that they can then encourage the idea of voter ID, more restrictive voter ID, photo ID laws at the polling place. Is that a correct assessment?
Yeah, I mean, that's how my sense of it is. You know, apart from even just doing the EAC report, having worked on this continuously and vigorously since the 2000 election on this issue.
Sure.
That is my sense that, everywhere you go, where these very restrictive voter ID laws are passed, it's completely along partisan lines, almost, exactly on partisan lines,
mm-hmm.
very racially divided. And I don't think it's an accident. I think that, unfortunately, the Republican Party knows that the people who are less likely to have the kind of voter ID that they're demanding in order to be able to exercise the right to vote. The people who are less likely to have it are people who are thought of at least as tending Democratic, minorities, poorer people, people who move around a lot, students, older people. And
people who tend to vote any particular way?
I'm saying they tend to vote Democratic.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's just it's a little hard to believe that that's not at least part of the motive, although there may be some of them believe that this polling place voter fraud really is this sort of stealth, under-the-radar huge problem, but, it's just there's zero evidence that that's the case.
Well, you raise a good question. Are these real believers? You mentioned of all the experts you talked to, only Jason Torchinsky of the reprehensible phony GOP front group, American Center for Voting Rights. Only he was willing to come out and say, oh, no, voter fraud is much, much worse. Does he believe it? Do the people that you talk to that actually buy into it, do they believe it? Or do they know what they're doing is running a scam here, Tova?
I really hate to ascribe motives. I mean, I just sort of let people's actions speak for themselves. I will note one other interesting aspect of that, though, is that Thor Hearn, the head of the American Center for Voting Rights, was on our bipartisan working group, the EAC, in order to make doubly, triply sure that this was not tainted by any kind of partisanship. In addition to having bipartisan authors of the report, insisted mm-hmm. very strongly that we have a bipartisan and strongly bipartisan, meaning people who are very strong on either side, working group to advise us on the direction of our research. And we had a lengthy meeting with this group in May of 2006. And as I say, Thor Hearn was a member of that working group as requested by Job Sarabrov. And the transcript is available now publicly. And you'll see that he really didn't raise any objections to anything that we were saying.
Thor Hearn did not?
Everything we were saying was pretty much what ended up in our draft report.
So Thor Hearn did not raise any objections when you guys were discussing this report?
That's right. He only later raised objections in the news media when the status report that became controversial came out in USA Today in October. But at the time, there was only one person on the working group who really had any serious concerns about anything we were doing, and that was Secretary of State Todd Rokita of Indiana.
Indiana, right.
The state with, you know, probably the most restrictive voter ID law, who I later found out not only emailed the EAC trying to object to my participation in this project, the participation of a Republican notwithstanding, but actually did not believe that the EAC had the statutory authority to even conduct the project, which is a little odd because it's actually required to do so under the Help America Vote Act that created the agency.
Create these reports. So Rokita, actually, what did he say to object to you?
Oh, I mean, you know, and he wasn't the only one. I mean, that Hans von Spakovsky, who some of your listeners may have heard about, who was at the Department of Justice at the time in the voting section, who is now a recess appointee to the Federal Election Commission and is in the process of having his confirmation, nomination confirmed now by the Senate.
Or not.
Also wrote
right.
a very lengthy email complaining about my being involved in this project, saying that I was obviously partisan and had written all sorts of things that, you know, were objectionable. And, you know, it was discredit to the EAC to have me working on this.
Okay, let me figure this out then. Since you mentioned Hans von Spakovsky, Tove Wang, and just to give the quickest of examples here, the original report that you guys submitted to the EAC said, and the EAC, by the way, is four presidential appointees, theoretically two from the Republicans, two from the Democrats, but the original report that you put in said there is widespread but not unanimous agreement that there is little polling place fraud. Now, when the final version came out of the report, after they had altered it, it said, there is a great deal of debate on the pervasiveness of fraud.
Right, yeah.
Completely changed the meaning.
That's a key graph that everyone's been picking up on for obvious reasons.
Okay, so if they weren't complaining about it, Tova, to you when you were keeping the EAC up to date on what was going on, if there was no real complaints other than, you know, Jason Torchinsky, he was the only guy from ACVR who disagreed, what happened between the time you put in this report thinking all was well? Did you not?
I did. I didn't know because they wouldn't talk to me about it. There are emails now in the public domain that demonstrate that I was constantly, from August through December, trying to get in touch with all sorts of people at the EAC to try and find out, A, what was going on with the report, because obviously, I mean, it was obvious to me that it was going to become a political problem for them more than anybody if they sat on it too long and didn't act on it, and B, what they were doing with it if they were actually working on it. And basically, they refused to work with me and refused to let me see anything that they were doing. I was sort of completely hamstrung.
I have argued, and I believe our reporting at bradblog.com has backed up this case, that the EAC itself is impossibly compromised at this point, certainly when it was being run by Paul DiGregorio, who was the chair while you were working on it, for the bulk of the time you were working on this report.
I actually want to disagree with that a little bit.
Sure.
I actually think we need an institution like the EAC. But the problem is the way they're being run right now. And I think that, you know, you and I have talked about this. I don't know what went on with this, and I don't know who was responsible for it. But I really believe we need an institution that can be a place where a clearinghouse for honest research, a place where states can get guidance on how they should best conduct their elections. We need an entity that does give out advice on how to improve our voting system. It's just not working the way they're doing it now. They need greater transparency. They can't be stifling the findings of reports that they hire experts to gather.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying the EAC as a concept is no good. I'm saying that this group has become compromised. They're secretive. They don't release information. And frankly, I've done a lot of reporting on them. Tova, they don't tell the truth.
Well, I mean, honestly, my biggest hope is that out of all of this will come an institution that is reformed and is stronger after all of this has gone on.
Well, how do you explain that they would not allow you to speak for so many months? How many months are we talking about now between the time you released the report and the time?
The whole time I was working on the report, too. so okay. Almost 2 years.
Well, fair enough, though. You're working on it. They want to keep
right.
it quiet until your report comes out. Once
right.
it comes out, what was the reason they gave you for shutting up for the past 6 months? They wouldn't let you speak about it.
Well, I mean, and they're right, in a sense. I signed a contract that has a confidentiality provision in it that says that they own the research and I, you know, cannot speak about it. And, you know, perhaps I was naive in signing this contract. I never imagined in a million years that this would all go down the way it did. And immediately after they did release the report, I requested that I be able to speak about it. And I ended up actually very fortunately getting a pro bono attorney. Let me give a kind of a shout out to him, James Joseph from Arnold and Porter, who was mm-hmm. instrumental in working with me and writing letters to the EAC and getting them finally to release the documents. And, of course, there was tremendous pressure coming from Congress as well
mm-hmm.
to release all the documents regarding this and for them to let me speak out. Their position now basically is, well, we've released all these documents, so, you know, everything's out there so you can talk pretty much. But
yeah, but it took them, Tova, and you're much kinder than me. It took them how many months between the time they released their report, December 06,
oh,
right?
Oh, right, six months. And the, first of all, we after our initial letter to them, they took 2 full months to even acknowledge that first letter requesting that I be ungagged, and then sent us back, like, a 1 or 2 paragraph letter, which apparently took them 2 months to write. So that was the first thing.
And I want to shout out to...
They came up with different reasons for why I couldn't speak. I mean, the final one was kind of funny because they said the reason that I had been prohibited from speaking is that I was a federal employee. And as a federal employee, I had, you know, I couldn't make public disclosures about the work, which is really funny because I don't remember getting anything but a 1099 form from them. And, in fact, you know, they've acknowledged that. So to say I was a federal employee was just weird.
Weird indeed. Let's take a quick call here. Give us a call if you like. 888-5-PETER-B to speak with Tova Wang. John in Germantown, Wisconsin. Welcome to the PBC show. Question for Tova?
Well, it sounds like she answered my question. I was going to ask if, I guess, when did you sign the non-disclosure agreement? Was after you agreed to work for him? And then did you realize its scope and nature? And it sounds like the answer to the second part is no.
At the time, you know, it seemed to me, and I guess I'm in a way a little bit embarrassed now because I went to law school. I've never practiced, but I am an attorney. I assumed that it was sort of a very normal kind of clause, and it really kind of was, that said that this is sort of a kind of work for hire where the research belonged to them. And I didn't have a problem with that. It never dawned on me that they would come out with something that I have, you know, be so troubled by that this would end up in this kind of a conflict. So, I mean, that's kind of the best answer I can give.
So you knew you were not going to be able to speak about the report once it came out, or did you presume that once the study came out, you would get to talk about it?
No, I knew I couldn't because we had had conversations during the report because, as I've mentioned, I'm someone who works on this issue as well as many other voting rights issues.
Right.
That's my job at the Century Foundation. And so I, you know, speak to the press a lot. And during the election in particular, I was being asked questions by, you know, any number of media. And I went to them saying, you know, can I talk about this? Can I talk to them? And they told me I couldn't even before they put out their version of the report. So I knew that, and you know, like I said, I was able to get a terrific pro bono attorney, and that was very useful.
But it took
Congress stepped in.
It took months, and it was only really after Rosemary Rodriguez joined the EAC that she began to speak up and make some noise on your behalf as one of the new commissioners. And even then, the rest of the commission seems like they took months before they responded.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And, I, you know, again, I don't know what went on behind closed doors. I mean, I also have to acknowledge that, you know, a number of members of Congress also were quite upset about all of this. Zoe Lofgren and Maurice Hinchey and a number of others also were making demands of Senator Feinstein and Durbin on the Senate side. So they definitely were under a lot of pressure. And you know, fortunately now they've changed their position on it.
All right, we're going to be back with our few remaining minutes with Tova Andrea Wang speaking out for the first time about the voter fraud report that the EAC gamed. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're back after this.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
And let's take a look at traffic and tell you the latest, starting off with a problem. CHP was telling us about a situation working. It was on northbound 17 at the Cats, although it looks like everything pretty much cleared up, so that's some good news. Let's take a look at the King City northbound 101 before Canal Street. We have a bike in the roadway still being reported, although they've cleared that off, so that's good news. Salinas, Paul Avenue, Russell, right shoulder, two vehicles on CHP's on the scene. Santa Cruz, Empire Grade at Smith Grade, a two-vehicle crash being reported there. No further details. And a major injury crash being reported in southern Monterey County. This is an accident on Highway 1 south of Lucia. A motorcycle hit a parked car. The driver landed in a ditch. Paramedics, fire department on scene. They may be calling out for a medical helicopter to the scene as well. A support brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. A termite can lay as many as 38,000 eggs a day. Call Orkin.
Sorry, Tova, couldn't help it.
I'll go ahead, everybody else does.
All right, everybody, Wang Chung tonight. Tova Andrea Wang is our guest here for the last few minutes of the Peter B. Collins Show. Democracy Fellow at the Century Foundation, author of the Gamed Voter Fraud Report. It wasn't game when she turned it in, but by the time the EAC, U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, turned it out, it was gamed indeed. One of the other anomalies reported by the Times, the difference between her original report said there was evidence of some continued outright intimidation and suppression of voters by local officials, especially in American Indian communities. The final report, however, says that voter intimidation is also a topic of some debate because there is little agreement concerning what constitutes actionable voter intimidation. If they were going to make their own report, Tova Wang, why wouldn't they just write what they wanted to in the first place? And do you know who it was who changed the text of your report to what they eventually got here?
Well, to the first part of your question, I have very long now wondered if they were just going to write their own report, why they hired us and why they paid us, you know, using taxpayer dollars, honestly. Mm-hmm. My understanding from the emails that were released is that it seems that the primary person who was responsible for the drafting of the EAC's report was Julie Thompson Hodgkins, the general counsel at the EAC, who is a Republican, although she's not a political appointee, but she is a Republican.
Well, she was working, or somebody was working for somebody, because you turned this in and things were supposed to be fine. What did you think when you saw this report when it came out? What was your feeling when they finally released it this way?
Again, I'm probably, you know, I actually, if, in fairness, I actually had the feeling, obviously, that something mm-hmm. was going on when they refused to talk to me for 6 months.
Okay, but here's another example. Original report said false registration forms have not resulted in polling place fraud. Then their version of your report comes mm-hmm. out and says registration drives by non-governmental groups are a source of fraud.
Yeah, that actually really annoyed me. I mean, I was pretty horrified back in December, and it's funny because it really took the U.S. attorneys scandal for people to start paying attention to what had gone on with the EAC, because at the time, you know, a few groups like People for the American Way and Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and, mm-hmm. and you know, were and you were onto this, you know, it didn't get a lot of attention, and I couldn't say anything, and so it was uncomfortable.
I can only imagine how frustrating. Let's sneak in a quick call here. Bob Bancroft, actually, from Voters Unite. You got a question for Tova Wang, and welcome to the PBC show, Bob.
Thank you, Brad, and thank you, Tova, for taking some time to talk to all of us about this. It's just so illuminating, and I think it's really appreciated.
Thank you.
My question was, do you know what the original genesis or impetus for the report was? Was this one of the things that HAVA tasked EAC to do, or was there?
Yeah, exactly. It's in the HAVA legislation that they're supposed to study this issue. But that brings me to another point, actually, which is what it says in HAVA is that the Election Assistance Commission is to study and do a report on voter fraud and voter intimidation. Well, before you even read the report that the EAC released in December, you could see that something was amiss because it was no longer called a report on voter fraud and voter intimidation.
That's right.
In fact, it was now called election crimes,
yep.
which tremendously narrows, greatly narrows the scope of what you're going to be looking at. It completely excludes the possibility of looking at acts that have the effect of committing, of being a fraud or intimidating or suppressing voters that either come under civil litigation or are not, as of now, part of the criminal code or not right now criminal acts under the criminal code, but maybe should be.
When
you know, right off the bat, they had taken off the table things like challenges to minority voters, things like, you know, groups putting what appear to be armed guards in front of the polling places, deceptive practices, the phony flyers going out to people.
I think they knew that voter fraud in and of itself as a phrase had already become so discredited as a GOP scam that they decided to conflate them all into one big pot of election crimes.
Well, I think it allowed them to so narrow the scope of what they were going to look at mm-hmm. that they didn't have to deal with all these, you know, annoying little voter intimidation problems that currently, at least, are not being adequately dealt with by the law. They don't want to look at that. They want to look at things that are already under the criminal code. For example, in order to charge someone criminally for voter intimidation, there has to be some kind of physical or financial coercion. And it was my proposition that maybe we wanted to look at broadening the scope of that so that you could criminally prosecute people for doing other things that did not involve physical or economic coercion. But you can cut that out if you're only looking at what is currently under the criminal code.
Well, Tova Andrea Wang, thank you for joining us here. Actually, give me 15 seconds just on this is a scam as far as I'm concerned, as far as the Republicans go. Is this a scam to keep people from voting as far as you see across the GOP in general?
Well, I mean, you know, getting away from the report, because, again, I don't know. I don't have a smoking gun that tells me exactly what went on there. But looking at all of the evidence as a whole over the last several years and the pushing of the voter ID, I think it is quite evident just looking at the facts that they have been pushing this notion of polling place fraud and using it to enact stringent voter ID laws and others that would restrict third-party registrations and so on in order to exclude certain categories of voters. I think that's clear.
And just to be clear, those categories are Democrats. Okay.
They do tend to be.
Yes, they do. Tova Andrea Wang, thank you so much for speaking up, for joining us, for doing all you've been doing on this topic, and for the courage to fight back against these guys. I really appreciate it, Tova.
Thank you.
Tova Andrea Wang from the Century Foundation. You can read much more over there at the Century. Oh, we don't have the Century Foundation. TCF.org. Check out her work over there. We'll have we've got a lot. Search Brad Blog for Tova Wang. We've got a lot of thoughts, including guest blogs from Tova. All right, we've got to get out of here. We've got one more broadcast tomorrow. We will be back for that. Do I have time to thank everyone? To thank all my guests. Faz Shakir, Christina Johnson, Tracy Fleischman, Scott Dick, Tova Andrea Wang, John Gideon. I'm told we may have Greg Palace tomorrow, Deborah Bowen, if we're lucky. A lot more. Katrina Rill, thank you for producing up at the Mothership, along with engineer Brian Urban, Desi Doyen here in the studio, Agent 99 for holding down fort at bradblog.com, Odie McClay and all the great folks here at KPFT for letting us ruin the joint.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Looks like the stock sell-off is going global. In early trading on the Tokyo Exchange, Japan's Nikkei stock index fell more than 2.5%. On Wall Street today, the closing bell ended an ugly session where the Dow at one point was down 450 points. It finished 311 points lower at 13,473. The blame goes to tightened credit for corporate financing and more gloomy reports about the state of the housing market. Stock analyst Eugene Peroni.
The market, perhaps arguably overdue for a correction, certainly got the kind of news that triggered such a retreat. And now it is moving from a correction to what seems to be a bit of panic stage selling, which oftentimes leads to a bottom.
It was just last week that the Dow hit a new top, 14,000. Inebriated astronauts? CBS News correspondent Peter King has the story.
The accusations are stunning.
This floors me as much as the Lisa Nowak thing almost.
Former shuttle commander Rick Searfoss, after published reports that two astronauts were okayed to fly their missions despite warnings that they were drunk.
I can tell you what I would do if I was commander. I would, in no uncertain terms, call the highest person at NASA and said, I want this person off the mission.
He says if that didn't work, he would have gone public. Aviation Week says this all comes from a report on astronaut health and screening commissioned after Lisa Nowak was arrested here in February. That report is due out tomorrow. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
There's been a deadly explosion in California's Mojave Desert at an airport that's home to Scaled Composites, the aerospace company that built Spaceship One, the first private manned rocket. Authorities say the blast killed two people and left four others critically injured. Cause unknown. There were cheers and jeers as Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick left the federal courthouse in Richmond, Virginia, after pleading not guilty to felony dogfighting charges. CBS News correspondent Byron Pitt says we can expect a vigorous defense.
Vick's hired an all-star legal and marketing team. Attorney Billy Martin, who once represented Monica Lewinsky, read a statement from Vick.
I respectfully ask all of you to hold your judgment until all of the facts are shown.
The facts so far have shed new light on an underground blood sport that is illegal in all 50 states.
I think that what the issue here is that dogfighting has become more and more popular in the past 10 to 15 years, particularly